combat time!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Combat Time, where three friends talk about everything and anything Mortal Kombat related. I am one of your hosts, Jay, and I am joined by Yassine.
Yo.
And Josh.
What the fuck is up?
And today, for our episode, we're going to be talking about a subject matter that I personally have been wanting to talk about for a little while, and that is MK controllers. And that is worth talking about because MK, unlike other fighting games, has a rather unique control system because you have a block button. And in the classic arcades, if you look at a classic arcade cabinet, the clear distinction between MK and other fighting games is it has a really different button control scheme. And how that translates into different controllers through different consoles over time is always interesting because you have the addition of run buttons that were also included in MK3. So we wanted to kind of talk about this a little bit because it is unique, because the bond that you form with your controller in any fighting game, for anybody that plays a lot of fighting games, is a unique one and should
not be
overstated.
Wow, Jay, that was really poetic. The bond you form. Wow.
It's very true. I'm not even kidding. And that can transfer.
Like you're talking about an AVA unit or something.
Yes. Or Jaeger. Yes. Yes. I want you guys to remember that in Street Fighter the movie, when Bison was trying to kill Guile on the ship, what was he using? He was using an arcade stick. So that's a very unique bond.
Because he needed that bond to be able to, you know, fight effectively.
Yes. But before we get into that, you know, it's been a little while. So Josh, Yassine, how you two doing?
It's been a long...
Oh, sorry.
It's been 5 weeks since you looked at me. Da, da, da. And it hasn't been a while. Maybe it's been a while since our last recording, although it feels like yesterday. But not a while, because we just saw each other last night. Speaking of giant robots and giant things, and we just saw Lizard X Monkey.
The Bro Empire.
The Bro
Giller
Empire.
X Monk.
The Giller X Monkey. Pretty fun.
That was a fun movie.
That is a fun movie. I'm now demanding that, like, that if they ever make a new Godzilla fighting game specifically, Scar King has got to be a actual fighter.
Oh, yeah, he'd be fun with his whip and everything and his, limber body.
Yep.
Damn, they need to make another one. I did just, speaking of fighting games and controllers, I did, for some reason, get a bug bit that I'm like, I miss the Pipeworks Godzilla games, and I did dust off Destroy Monsters Melee on my GameCube. Played a little bit. Legit had fun. I mean, actually, I dusted it off not long ago, a couple months, like last year anyway, but I just dusted it off again, but I, like, had a bug in me. I'm like, I want something new, and that's why I told you guys I did download Gigabash. Super fun. I haven't downloaded the DLC yet, but already, like I said, like if I drop something, I all of a sudden drop it. I got done with the story, and I don't know. I dropped it. I spent $40 on it. I just dropped it.
I need to buy it myself, but
I dropped
it is
real
fun.
Quick too.
Really?
I played it for a little bit, and once the Ultraman stuff came in, I downloaded those and tried that out, and that was pretty fun, but yeah, I don't know. I just kind of moved on to another game. But
I'm kind of worried because I went online too. I did play one online match, and it took a while to find rooms. And I'm wondering if I waited way too late to buy this game. I don't know how populated the player base is.
But yeah, this is a weird question. Is this game cross-gen?
I don't know.
You mean cross-play?
Cross-play, sorry.
That's not a weird question. But no, I felt like I probably should bring it up because it's assumed I got it on Switch. I did. But it is cross-play. So
really?
The empty rooms I saw wasn't just because it's on Switch. It's all around.
Wait, so then why don't we just play it?
Yeah,
we could.
Just play
I thought Jay had it, but Jay just said he needs to buy it. But yeah, we should play it. Sometime.
I do need to buy it. Because Gigabash is actually pretty fun. It's what Colossal Kaiju Combat should have been.
Oh God, don't mention that. Oh.
Yeah,
I'm making the cross form of the cross right now. Yassine, what do you got it on? You got it on PC?
No, I got it on PS5.
Okay, I was about to say, if you got it on PC, maybe we could even stream it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's If it's, I could do that. I'm sure it's going to be on sale somewhere.
Probably. I mean, even if it's on sale, $40 ain't that bad.
That's true.
It's bad for an impulse buy that you play for 5 minutes, but what?
Shoot, it's $25.
Oh shit!
On Steam. So if I wanted to buy it with the Godzilla and Ultraman DLC, it's $45. That's worth not it. Bad.
Yeah.
You know what? That may be a future stream.
Not making any promises, people, but yeah, Giga Bash.
Especially
if
you both get it, and then we just play against each other.
Well, I already got it, so Jay just needs to follow up. I thought Jay had it already.
Well, I'll remedy that very, very soon, Josh.
Buy it on your Switch. Give your Switch some love. it's sitting there waiting for Metroid that's never going to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I definitely wanted to mention, and these are like two little news tidbits I kind of wanted to briefly talk about a little bit that have happened since our last recording that's worth mentioning. I wouldn't call it State of the Realm worthy, like our little news segment that we do, but it's worth mentioning. So, like we mentioned before in our previous episode, Mortal Kombat 1, you know, despite its kind of like issues right now, we talked about Janet Cage a little bit, but she was not out at the time. She is out now. You can download her. In Mortal Kombat 1, so she is a new cameo, and being that she is a new cameo, she may affect gameplay, hopefully for the better. I have not played her myself, but she is a option for you to purchase.
I haven't picked up Mortal Kombat 1 since we did our last episode. Yep.
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I uninstalled MK1.
Oh!
You uninstalled it?
I uninstalled it, because I was making room for another game that I was looking to try.
Actually, it was for a demo.
It was for a... Yeah, I know. It was for a demo, Sandland demo, the Akira Toriyama game that came out.
Akira Toriyama?
Yeah, Sandland is one of his other mangas, I think.
R.I.P. Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, R.I.P. Akira Toriyama.
Akira Toriyama. But,
also, another important R.I.P., R.I.P. Lou Gossett Jr., because Iron Eagle.
Yeah.
Watch Iron Eagle 4. Anyway, go back to seeing him, sir.
But yeah, this
RIP Carl Weathers too. I'm sorry to interrupt. Carl Weathers and Ken Satsuma also passed away this year. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I think this is one of the last games that he worked on. I think he worked pretty closely on this game from what I've heard. So I was like, oh, I want to download the demo and try that out. But I just needed to, I need a little bit more space. And I looked at all my games. I was like, which one I haven't played recently? Which is the oldest one I haven't played? Yes, I'm sorry, Mortal Kombat, but for now, I'm sure I'll get the itch. But right now, as far as fighting games, I'm in a Tekken mood. Tekken has been consuming my,
Tekken up all your space, mental space.
Tekken up my... So, unfortunately, for now, I have uninstalled Mortal Kombat. But I'll bring it back up at some point. But for now, it's just like there's other games I want to play and I ain't got that much space on my PS5, so I think I need to get one of those expansion memory stick things.
Do it.
So I can...
Same thing where I need to get a bigger SD card, which I already got one from a Switch, but I think I need another bigger one.
Yeah, but also because you guys mentioned RIP, the other tidbit of news is an RIP, and it's worth mentioning here. our dear old friend, pretty much every Mortal Kombat fan's friend from the early 90s, former Senator Joe Lieberman passed away.
That was the other RIP.
And he's worth mentioning because
we've talked about him extensively in an episode.
Yeah. But, he is, of course, at least mostly responsible for the rating system that Mortal Kombat ushered in on video game systems. So, RIP Joe Lieberman, this post is rated E for everyone. So
yeah, that joke would not be possible without him.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that is a good or bad thing.
Yeah,
it's not a good or bad thing, but it's worth mentioning. You don't have to like or dislike Joseph Lieberman as a senator, but his history is with MK is undeniable at this point, so it's just worth mentioning.
Speaking of deaths too, I mentioned Ken Satsuma. I should mention,
dude, what is up with this episode so far?
Well, we're just talking about celebrity deaths.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going to mention it to y'all outside of recording, but I thought it was weird. One, we never gave a shout out to Ken Satsuma, which anybody doesn't know, is a guy that was the Godzilla suit actor from the 80s and 90s. And before that played Gigan and the Smog Monster. And
did he pass away this year?
Yes, he did.
Last year.
He passed away.
He passed away this year.
Yeah, because it was when we recorded the Sonya episode, our Sonya Blade character spotlight.
Oh, okay.
We brought him up because we did a segment, just a tangent, where we talked about motion capture, and we brought up TJ Storm, and we brought up Ken Satsuma. And it's funny that we mentioned him because while we were editing that episode, he passed away. And we just happened to mention him in the episode. I thought that was spooky.
Even though, you know, this is a Mortal Kombat podcast and not a Godzilla one, but we're all Godzilla fans here.
We're all three Godzilla fans, so his name comes up almost like contractually has to be brought up every episode. Yeah. My fault, sorry. That's all I got to say about how do you do's and news bits.
Yeah, but those two news bits worth mentioning, but at least just to kind of segue into the meat and potatoes of this episode. MK meat controllers.
Potatoes and molasses.
if any of our listeners gets that reference, then you win, because that's a great show.
Who hasn't seen that fucking show anyway?
Yeah, but so MK controllers. I kind of wanted to start off this subject a little bit with just the idea of looking at an MK controller, particularly the arcade cabinets of Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 specifically, because obviously, as I mentioned earlier, 5-button control scheme, very unusual for the time. Most arcade cabinets at the time actually had your standard 6-button control scheme, and then some even had 4. But MK is the only one that I'm aware of that actually has 5. If anybody wants to correct us by sending us an email at our email address and correct me on that, for at least
fighting games. CombatTimePodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, then please do. But to my knowledge, MK is the only fighting game that actually had a 5-button control scheme because of the block button. And what's unique about that is that if you played an arcade cabinet at all early on in the day, you'll notice a couple of things. That when you look at your hand and you place your hand on an arcade cabinet, where your fingers fall is going to naturally overlay with a 6-button control scheme, where the top of your hand, particularly your right hand in this case, is going to fall on the topmost 6-button controls, and then your thumb is going to probably be like one of the buttons on the bottom. So you've got 4 buttons that your hand naturally fits on. But with Mortal Kombat, because they decided to go with the option of a square with the block button directly in the middle, you kind of got to hunch your hand over a little bit, where your thumb is on the bottom left button, and then your two fingers, your index finger and your middle, like in your ring finger, are on the topmost buttons. And then somehow you're just going to have to move your fingers around to hit the block button and then the rightmost bottom button. And obviously you couldn't customize it.
We might get ahead of ourselves, because I'm sitting here looking at it and visualizing it. Is that how you played arcade? Or, maybe some kids did whack-a-mole with their hand and just hit whatever button they want. I think that's probably how I played it in the arcade.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of kids, if you grew up playing like Street Fighter before you played Mortal Kombat like I did, your instinct is to hold back to block. And obviously in Mortal Kombat, you can't do that. So it's almost like a muscle memory thing you have to learn, which causes you to rewrite your brain. This is still present today when you're going from, say, Street Fighter 6 to Mortal Kombat 1. You and I talked about this a little bit when Mortal Kombat 1 came out. It's just trying to switch back and forth between that is always a little bit of a, it's a bit of a chore. It's a bit of a loading chore that we have to go through. We almost have to retrain our muscle memory just to kind of do it. One thing interesting about the MK cabinet, and this is just kind of like a differentiation between a Japanese cabinets and a North American cabinets, and I apologize, I'm going to get a little technical here, is that arcade cabinets from North America usually have a dip in each button. If you look at an arcade cabinet, Josh, you have the picture.
I'm looking at it right now. I see the dip.
Yeah, you see a little bit of a dip in there, and that's
a little depression in the button.
Yeah. A little depression. Yeah, actually depression is a better word. A little depression inside each of the buttons. And then if you notice the joystick looks what some people describe. I describe it as a little baseball bat because to me that's what it looks like.
I see a red balloon, an inflated balloon.
Yeah. Well, there's two types. There's what some people call the lollipop or the red balloon, whatever you want to do. A stick with a ball on it. And then you have the baseball bat that has a bit more of a grip. And these are fundamental differences in controller schemes from both Japan and North America. Now, this doesn't really affect Mortal Kombat too much because Mortal Kombat is a North American property. So it almost always, like 10 times out of 10 in terms of official cabinets, it's going to have the North American button control scheme, which you're going to have the baseball bat with the sort of textury grip, and you're going to have the depressed buttons there so that your fingers can naturally sit on it. But on the Japanese controllers, they have more of like a little dome of buttons on theirs, and they have the lollipop stick because in their minds, with how they do it, and this is just a fundamental cultural difference with controllers and how you hold them, is that the Japanese put two fingers underneath the lollipop and then move the joystick using like having their hand facing up, or the palm of their hand facing up. While it's like in the North American stick, yeah, that's a little, because you can grip it. That's not to say you can't hold the lollipop stick on top and do it that way, because I do on my own arcade stick, but you have that extra option for people that just kind of want to do different flicking motions with their index finger and their middle finger, like left and right, if you're doing some quick dashes or if you're doing back dashes or anything like that. That's just a fundamental difference. But of course, with the American stick, you can't do that. You're just supposed to grip it like it's just some bowling ball and then move it back and forth and move it back and forth rather hard, which is why, unfortunately, when you talk about broken arcade cabinets, that probably happened more in North American cabinets than Japanese ones.
So wait, like the mechanism of the... We are getting technical. This is fascinating.
Yeah, it's technical.
The mechanism of the stick in Japanese cabinets is different? Or the grip?
The mechanisms are a bit different in the way that like the American stick is a bit more stiff. You can feel this, like Josh, anytime that you're over at my house, feel the joystick on my arcade stick, and then we can go.
I mean, is that going to be authentic to? We could talk about Mutations Brewery where I got some umbrage. But
Mutations Brewery is a local place that Josh and I go sometimes, and they have an MK3 cabinet, and I'll put that in asterisks. Asterisks, Justine.
We told you about that. No, I'm talking about the MK3 cabinet.
We told you about that. Yeah. Anyway, I'll aside here real quick. Yeah, Jay was real excited that they had a Mortal Kombat 3 cabinet, and when I went there for the first time, we went over to play it. It was Ultimate MK3, I think, and I was having a little hard time. I was getting my ass kicked, but I was like, where's the run button? And he's like, huh? And I'm like, this is MK3. Where's this fucking run button? It wasn't an authentic cabinet. I think it was a ROM cabinet, and they just used the standard MK layout instead of the MK3 onwards one that had the run button. So
I see what
you're doing there, Mutations Brewery. I see you fucking trying to peddle to me. Anyway, they're a great place. I'm not going to. Anyway.
But it's something technical, but it matters because the
stick, like what's different in the mechanisms? I'm sorry. That's what I was asking.
Well, like most sticks tend to have at least your standard because God, now this is really going to get technical. All sticks have what you call a gate inside of them. The gate determines their flow of motion. And you've got three types. You've got a square gate, an octagonal gate, and a circle gate. All three of those gates determine how smooth it goes. Like, obviously, if you put a stick inside of a square and then you try to move it, you're going to hit these corners. If you put it in an octagon, you're going to hit more corners, but it's going to feel like a circle. And then if you put it in a circle, it's going to flow around very, very smoothly.
I'm going to guess Street Fighter uses a circle because you got on them quarter moves, right?
No, actually, no. Most arcade...
It would be the octagon.
Yeah. The circle is very customary. It's sort of like an easy customization. Really, most people that I've ever heard of do not use the circle gate unless you're playing like a full circle motion character, say Zangief in Street Fighter VI, because a lot of his moves, like his a lot of his grappling moves, require full circle motion. You do with, and also characters that need like charge characters can also take advantage of the full circle motion too, because you can do things like tilts and charge petition. In those cases, like Guile, you know, for example. But Mortal Kombat doesn't really have much of this, so it's kind of irrelevant. It's just sort of like a technical way to describe it. But in North American cabinets, particularly Mortal Kombat, they all have the square gate. The square gate being like the least frame of motion ever, but it makes sense when you look at Mortal Kombat's, you know, move scheme. Most moves are forward, like forward this, back this, forward down, forward this. There's very few diagonals in Mortal Kombat, at least in the early games.
The only one I could think of is, of course, Sub-Zero's freeze was down forward.
Yeah.
Low punch or high punch.
Yeah. And because of that, you know, because of the stiff nature of Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3, which sort of paved the way for how Mortal Kombat was ever played, you know, it just has a natural, almost like an innate stiffness to it, which is what, which part, which, you know, on the arcade cabinets, That's part of the reason why the buttons on there are have that depression, because it's meant to kind of, your fingers are meant to kind of grip the button a little bit, so you're just constantly like pressing and mashing and mashing and mashing. While it's like the Japanese ones have more of the dome because they're more lighter. They're more sort of like pianoing. Like you actually can piano certain buttons a little bit if you get that term. It's meant to be almost like a symphony or a flow. While it's like America, it's just like, yeah, yeah,
that sounds elegant.
Yeah, it is. You ought to, like, if you ever watch any Japanese people play, like, fighting games on their arcade sticks, if you just watch their hands, they do that. Like, it's literally more of a flow. Why this matters, because while we're doing technical about all this sort of stuff, is that this sort of defines the player's experience with Mortal Kombat from out the gate by using the arcade cabinet, and how that translates into other controllers when it came on consoles back in the early 90s. A lot of us, myself included, Yassine included, when we started playing Mortal Kombat 1, like a lot of people, I started on the Genesis. Well, the Genesis, if you use the default controller, is a 3-button controller. Mortal Kombat has 5. So how does this define you playing the game? How did, you know, because imagine you're a kid, and obviously the internet wasn't there back then. Probably some kids were not buying manuals. And if you're playing Mortal Kombat for the first time on a Genesis controller with a 3-button control scheme, you probably aren't even aware that you probably can't even block, because there's no option to it. And you don't know that you can do like certain kicks without having to press 2 buttons together. You know?
Not exactly. Because, I mean, games back then had very like detailed manuals back then. So if you're playing on a Genesis, you would get the manual book in the case, and it would have the layout for the controller, so you should be able to know.
I mean,
that's what I remember. I think,
I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say that like I'm one of those kids, but I totally was one of those kids where I have the game in my hand, I want to play it right now, screw the manual, I just want to get in and play.
you know when it I think what a lot of people, and I've done this a lot too, is that you would buy the game, you know, at a flea market or like a pawn shop or something, and it would just have the cartridge. It wouldn't have the box or the manual. So then you're kind of on your own. But if you bought it like new or whatever with everything included, then usually you would have the manual.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
But because I think MK2, I think I just had the cartridge. And I think Ultimate MK3 is the one that had everything on it. And MK1 I borrowed from somebody.
So. Yeah. And then also, you have to think, if you're an arcade cabinet player, like I was, and I'm over here playing with, you know, with a baseball bat on a North American cabinet, and then on the Sega Genesis, I have to then transition to a D-pad. And that, I'll admit, was not the biggest transition for me, but I can only imagine if you played so much arcade cabinet, your muscle memory kind of like got the idea of like, okay, I'm going to hunch my hand over and then press this, like these 2 buttons up here, my thumb's going to hit this. And if I have to block, I'm going to move my finger this way and hit this and hit the back button, just because maybe I just think like that. And then you're grabbing the Genesis controller and you've got these 3 buttons in a straight line and then a D-pad. And then you have to like, you almost have to reconfigure your entire muscle memory like around that. And if you're vice versa, if you played Mortal Kombat first on the Genesis controller specifically with a 3-button control scheme, and then you want to play your friends that are in your local arcade back in the day, you're looking at the arcade cabinet, you're like, what in the hell is going on here? Why is this, like, what is this button control scheme? Like, this is going to fundamentally change the way you play the game, because your innate muscle memory, you know how to do a shadow kick, you know how to do Sub-Zero's freeze, like you have the muscle memory down with your thumbs on the controller, and then now you have to actually use all of your fingers and learn the different sensitivity range of a stick on an arcade cabinet versus the D-pad on a controller. These things will fundamentally shape your experience with the game. It'll shape your experience now with any game. We have it today. When you go from the Xbox controller to the PS controller, whether it's, you know, almost any game, you fundamentally have to rethink the way that you do certain moves, because it's not good. Like, the timing's going to be slightly different because you're on a different controller. That's what I mean when I say you bond with your controller, whether you know it or not. You have a feeling, like an instinct that, okay, my thumb is here, I'm going to hit this button and this button to do this move, and it's going to go in this sequence. But on an arcade stick, you're not using your thumb. You're actually pressing your fingers down. And that is gonna, like, your timing's gonna be different. you're not going to be able to do probably as many effective spacing or neutral moves the way you want to. And because you want to play with your friends, you're going to be like, you're going to be one of those kids like, you know what? I may have lost on an arcade cabinet, but I totally got you on controller, bro. Or vice versa. Y'all probably both know, maybe had a friend or a relative that you played Mortal Kombat with that was better with controller versus arcade cabinet, or vice versa. And that's the reason for that, because you have these just fundamental differences. With, thankfully, we're kind of bringing up the Genesis controller a lot, but but Josh, you've mentioned this before, but on the Super Nintendo, thankfully, it's a much easier transition because the Super Nintendo easy. Has six buttons. It has six buttons that actually had more of like an actual flow. Your thumb was on the main four buttons, but then you also have the bumpers at the top, and thankfully, you have your block button. And
yeah, the bumpers are the perfect thing for the block button, which, of course, now is standard on modern controllers. I don't know if, Jay, if I ever played Mortal Kombat enough with someone that was so hardcore that they had a preference. I think we all played on home, and I played random teenagers in the arcade. But I will say that maybe just because I played it more at home, I'm definitely more comfortable on a controller. And the Super Nintendo controller, I think I had the best setup versus you two. You even sent me the layout, and I'm like, I don't need it. I know exactly Y buttons, high punch, B buttons, low punch, and them shoulder buttons. And since there's nice two of them, when MK3 came out, they didn't have to do much thinking to assign the run button. Oh, the left bumper's the run, the right button's the block, or vice versa.
Yeah, and Josh, I want you to think about what you just said there. When you said that you, like, on the Super Nintendo, you didn't have to look at an image, you automatically knew. Because in your brain, you had...
Well, I mean, back in the day, guess what, Jay? I did look at manuals. I loved reading the manuals. And, of course, I did... Mortal Kombat 1, quick refresher. Okay, this is high punch. All right, I'm good.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things where, like, let's just say you didn't read the manual. These days, it's just almost like a universal default for almost any fighting game that when you look at your gamepad, no matter what it is, the punch buttons are usually the top ones and the kick buttons are usually the bottom ones.
Well, Nintendo's weird about that. I was about to get up and grab my Super Nintendo controller, but I do got the picture you posted. The punch buttons for the Super Nintendo. Oh, I didn't open your picture because I have my controller right here. Nintendo's fucking weird. Y and B are the punch buttons. And, well, the Super Nintendo's arranged, the buttons are diagonal. So it's not really a top-bottom. But it's actually, I guess, a little different. Y and B are kind of... almost bottom, and X and A, which are the kicks, are almost top.
Well, I think of it the other way. I think of Y and B as being top and bottom, and then X and A is also top and bottom.
You would, but look at the Super Nintendo controller.
No, I'm looking at it now, because like how your finger is going to lay on it, how your thumb is going to lay on it.
Oh, this is apples orange things. If you turn it one way, it's if you turn it the other way.
But
you're looking at Y and X as a pair and A and B as a pair, where I'm looking Y and B as a pair.
They're literally like the plastic around them makes them look like a pair.
Yeah. what I mean? Derp to derp. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I, as far as consoles, I played the first three Mortal Kombat games on the Sega Genesis. In my house, we had one 6-button controller and one 3-button controller. And because I was the older brother, my little brother got stuck with the 3-button controller. And if you're hearing this, I'm very sorry about that, because that was really crappy to do. But it made sense with the 6-button controller, because like the two left buttons were high punch and low punch. The two right buttons were high punch and low kick. And depending on what game, the two middle buttons were either both block or with like ultimate. It was like one was block and one was run, and he kind of just went like that. So that it made sense to me, even though I guess it would be kind of difficult to block and.
I'm thinking blocking, like, man,
you're not really punching.
You're not really punching, but that means you got to keep swapping your thumb to block and then punch. Whereas Super Nintendo, your fingers are delegated to that.
Yeah, but like you said, like back then, you kind of adapted to whatever was available.
Yeah.
And it was, and especially when you're younger, it's just easier to pick up stuff. So going from my Sega Genesis to even like once in a while, me and my brother switching controllers and trying to play with the 3-button controller, which is like, oh man, it's so difficult. Because like A is low punch, and the way you make it high punch is either front or back and then punch.
Wow.
So like if you're doing a spear, you just do back, back, A. But then if you do an uppercut, you do down and A as well.
What the fuck? That's so weird. You know, I played the Genesis version on our emulator for our MK1 episode, and I forget how that translated to the Xbox controller which I used. I think it automatically did the six-button layout. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it defaults to the six-button layout. Because I did the same thing. I played the first three on my PC with my PlayStation 4 controller. And yeah, you just kind of... I think you may have to remap it a little bit, depending on what version of you're playing. I think I played the GOG version, so...
Mm. Oh, RIP GOG, by the way, as far as deaths go.
And that, and actually, that's it? And that's interesting.
Yeah, I think...
At least if you had the option to remap controls. You may not have had the option to remap controls in some of these older consoles, so...
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
So, like if you're talking, like, three-button Genesis controller, like, let's just say... Yassine, correct me here, but what is block on the three-button controller? Is it start? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So what if you want start to be C button? Let's just say you're the type that blocks a certain way. You can't do that. You couldn't, like, remap that. So then you're kind of, like, stuck.
Are you talking about on an actual Genesis, or are you talking about, like, on PC?
I'm talking about an actual Genesis.
Oh, yeah, you don't remap. There's no such thing as remapping.
Yeah.
So I mean, modern games let you customize the controls even on console, yeah. But I don't think you can do that on... Well, you know, keep talking. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn on my Super Nintendo, motherfucker, here and find out. also, I just want to say, because I'm holding the controller right now, I'm getting such a nostalgia rush just holding the Super Nintendo controller in front of me right now.
Oh, yeah.
I want to play some SNES when we're done recording.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, but...
I'm going to turn it on right now.
Random, but what's the deal with GOG?
I knew I'd derail that by bringing that bomb up. I don't...
Fuck games on that shit, so...
Yeah, I did too, man.
But it was DRM-free, though, so...
It was DRM-free. I'm trying to find out by a quick... All I remember is I think they are... Fuck, I'm going to be a liar like I was last April, 2 Aprils ago. We're not in April 1st yet. I read something that they were going under or that they were not doing DR. They were introducing DRM, but I can't fucking find it in news now. So, grain of salt.
Yeah, I was about to say, because the site is still on. It's still open.
Yeah, I Googled GOG and I hit news and nothing pertinent is coming up related to what I just said, so... I had heard on chatter that, yeah, something's changing.
Maybe it was a rumor?
Maybe it was. Fuck.
I don't know. I'm just guessing. But all the games you have are DRM3, so I guess as long as you download it, if it actually happens, then.
Yeah, but, I downloaded two Zork games off it. I should get back to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, where were we? Sorry to derail it.
No,
I just got very concerned for a second.
No, it's okay. obviously... I guess what I'm just kind of like building up towards is that, you know, for someone who, you know, like if you're like many kids in the 90s, you play like you're playing Mortal Kombat in the arcade. So you have this sort of like five button layout, and then you have the Genesis of the Super Nintendo where both of those have different button layouts and you have to get used to it. You know, what are you really to do? So what they had a lot of the time, which was, in my opinion, kind of super interesting, is that they had like these really cool, like gimmicky controllers that you could get that was just basically for everything. And you guys saw a picture of it earlier, but they actually have like a Mortal Kombat controller that obviously you guys corrected me. It looks like a Genesis controller, but it's not. It's just for any old TV, but it actually is a controller with the five button layout as it sits on the arcade with the block button in the middle, but it's, you know, but it's buttons. So I'm looking at that and I'm just like, wait a minute. So how would you hold this? Because I don't think you would use your thumb. I guess you'd hold it like you would a normal controller. And you just use your thumbs to press the buttons. But if you're thinking arcade, then what you would really do is that you would actually set the controller on one of your, like on one of your knees. And then you're going to use your hand and then basically treat it like a mini arcade cabinet. You're going to press the buttons individually with your fingers and not even use your thumb. And you're going to use the D-pad with your other hand, which is like...
I mean, isn't that what people do nowadays with like Tekken? Like they, yeah. they do like the claw
some
method
people do.
Or
yeah.
I was actually going to bring that up. Like actually Tekken being a four button control scheme, doing certain moves like requires a different level of precision. So trying to do quarter circles and sliding your thumb from one button to another just doesn't yield precision, you know, precision results for certain people. So they do that. They put the pad on their knee and then they piano it with their fingers on what they're actually trying to do because for them it's actually better. That's how you can kind of tell probably someone used to play Tekken in the arcade and then they're just playing on a home console because they got used to doing certain moves with certain characters by using their fingers instead of their thumb. It's actually a super interesting way to play Tekken, so I recommend anybody actually try it. If you actually have a like, if you play it on the gamepad, just any, it doesn't matter, like PlayStation or Xbox, just try actually like, you know, putting the controller on your lap and actually pressing the buttons individually rather than using your thumb. It's actually a it's a rather interesting way to play that game. And Mortal Kombat, there's probably some people using a gimmicky five-button controller that's laid out like the arcade cabinet, like I'm seeing here, is able to do that. But I'm still kind of tripping about, like, but wait, that only works if you have, like, a joystick. So if you have, like, a newer gamepad that actually has, like, a stick, like the GameCube controller or your newer PlayStation and Xbox controllers, but this controller I'm staring at, which is obviously an old-school one, just has a D-pad. So you're going to have to, like, use I guess two or three fingers or whatever to like press it, or somehow figure out how to press the buttons and use your thumb, which is just kind of awkward if you try to position yourself on it. So I'm just trying to like visualize a kid in the 90s trying to play this game, and he wants to get good at the game, but he has all these like different controller hiccups with wanting to do certain things a certain way based on his muscle memory. Like that's kind of like why controllers actually matter, because it innately forms your relationship in the long term about how you feel about Mortal Kombat as a whole. Like your experience liking or disliking the game can be shaped in some way by the type of controller that you're using. So it's super interesting to me that, you know, we have all these different types for all these different games, and Mortal Kombat having a unique layout in of itself, and how does that translate into game pads, and how does that shape how you do certain moves with consistency? Like, it's just, it's neat. It's neat stuff when you really think about it.
Neat stuff. I got an answer to a previous question, too, I just discovered. Jay, you're talking about, can you configure the buttons in the old consoles for the 2D games? You may have heard me blowing into my cartridge and starting and stopping in the background, but I got Mortal Kombat 2 for the SNES up right now, and there is a button configuration menu, so you can switch it around.
Good. I don't know when they started that, but like Yassine said...
I mean, I guess I could go fetch FK1 and see if it does that, but I think you can.
Yeah, but a lot of those older games... But Josh, I'm actually curious about what mapping configurations can you actually make? Like, can you...
Everything.
Like you can make one, one button actually act like three buttons.
No, yeah. Nothing crazy like that.
Yeah. Then it has limits. Is kind of what I'm getting at. Like, can you make all four of your buttons the block button? I don't know why you do that, but can
of course
you?
Not.
Yeah, you know, stuff like
not,
that.
No.
So it's not fully customizable. There are limits.
If you want that customization, emulate.
Yeah, emulate. Yeah, literally. But you know, there's probably like certain people out there that want to like that play Mortal Kombat a certain way. Maybe they want the block button to be the first button that they press every single time. Maybe they don't. And maybe they mastered a certain way to play on one controller, but by the time a new game comes out and they have a different controller, then they have to learn a whole new way to play the game. And it's almost like, does it work like this? Like a good experience that I think a lot of modern people will know is if you play Smash Brothers in any way, that game, the way it was mapped and the way it was configured was specifically designed to me, at least Melee was, on the GameCube controller. It naturally makes itself very accustomed to that specific control button scheme, where the A button's the biggest button and the B is the smaller one. You got like a tiny little D-pad and a joystick. Really random, but trying to play Smash on any other type of controller, even the Pro controller on the Switch, which is good, but... Personally, it's not the GameCube controller. There's just something about right. those different size buttons with the way you do moves in Smash that just feels so natural that you don't want to use any other type of controller. So I just can't.
And that's why they have a GameCube controller that specifically links up with the, yep. the Switch, or they have the GameCube controller port on it.
Yeah.
Which, goddamn Smash players.
And that's also why, like, you know, with Mortal Kombat, I think Mortal Kombat has been kind of like given a weird sort of a, not really a handicap, but just sort of a weird tactic where it has this five-button control scheme when it started off. The game is kind of designed around this control scheme and this button layout, but you really can't sell controllers specifically with a five-button layout and expect people to really internalize that. It's like it's going to be on these different controllers no matter what because of the type of game it is. So Mortal Kombat had to be forced to add, I guess you could say, like different things about it with how their button flows work, especially when you get into the more modern games where you have things like EXs and bumpers that do super moves and armor moves and stuff like that, or enhanced moves, as you know, I think as MK calls them, and X-rays and shit like that. Like nowadays, I feel like it's a lot less of a problem, but getting there, especially through the 90s, how you felt about a game could be very determined about what type of controller that you're actually using and if it actually worked. Because I don't know about you, Yassine, but Sega Genesis controllers specifically, at least for me, were notorious for breaking because of how bulky they were. They just weren't as tightly fit as the SNES controller was.
I never broke my Sega Genesis.
I went through like three or four, and maybe I was just violent with my controller. I'm not going to deny that.
We could see a clear difference how you both grew up.
I just remember the Genesis controller because it was so bulky. A lot of dust would get in, you know, there a lot of the time. It always felt dirty. The buttons would sometime get like, I don't know, like slow or less responsive than the NES controller as well. So to me, it just kind of like, I don't know. It's just like that bulkiness with all that extra space that, you know, that could, where air could get in there, just kind of
stuff
meant it
could
would get
in there.
Yeah. Stuff could get in there, like your food or your drink or whatever. And yeah, it just like,
I'm just thinking of that meme I saw of somebody complaining about the white controller for PlayStation and be like, it gets so dirty, I can't eat chicken wings and play PlayStation. Or somebody said, like, it's hard to eat ribs and play PlayStation. It's just, like, smeared rat. It's like, you disgusting motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, man. I had that Sega Genesis for years and never broke it, so.
I mean, to be to go on Jay's side a little bit, I will say they don't make, Nintendo makes them to be, you know, used as a weapon. They're fucking, they're made to last. I don't have experience of the Genesis, but yeah, maybe you just took better care of your shit.
Yeah, probably. But also, let's just say you played Mortal Kombat with one of these gimmicky, like, third-party controllers, and probably everybody has an opinion on those because I don't know about you guys, like if I ever buy, I remember I did this on day one. When I got my Xbox console, it already comes with one controller. And obviously I'm going to want more control, like at least one more controller for friends to come over like we do sometimes when playing fighting games. I could have easily just gotten a gimmicky controller that costs probably half the price of like just your standard regular controller from Xbox or Microsoft. But I choose not to because one thing is the D-pad. The D-pad matters.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Or the stick, whichever one you want to use. And when you go third party with that, you're getting a much cheaper quality product, which again is going to break down easier, or parts of the D-pad were not going to work. I think you were mentioning that back when I had my older Xbox and the controllers I had there, we would be playing Tekken, but parts of my D-pad stopped working.
Yeah.
Like my downs wouldn't be as responsive. And that's just mainly just because of use.
I've had that too. I've had that on my PS4 mm-hmm. controller before where it's and sometimes it's not even the D-pad. It would be the joystick or like the one of the sticks would drift and that would cause your character to like move.
Yeah, stick drift is a thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely went through those third-party controllers during the PS2 era. And man, getting a Mad Catz controller, that thing works like 20% of the time.
Yeah.
Shit.
I remember Mad Catz back in the... They make great arcade sticks, though, but they're not really good at controllers.
I have two third-party controllers. Funny, when I first got my N64, I knew I was getting it for Christmas, and ahead of time, just to give me, like, an appetizer, I guess, or to kind of let me know, hey, look what you're going to be getting. I think my sister got me an extra controller, and it was a third-party Nintendo 64 controller that did not have the three-prong handle design. It was more asymmetrically shaped, but still kind of resembling a Genesis. It was even black colored too. I would literally sit with it and just hit the buttons and pretend I was playing Mario 64, just looking forward to the thing. But yeah, the ergonomics of that weren't great. And I also have a third-party Super Nintendo controller with like a fucking switchboard operator row of switches at the top, so you can do like turbo or like make a button just eternally stay on and stuff like that.
Yeah,
not as comfy. You might have seen it. You've seen when you're over here. I don't remember. Not as comfy to hold as actually. You used the third party N64. No, you didn't. I have two regular controllers. Kept that thing in the fucking cupboard. I still got it though. Yeah, not as even the Super Nintendo one. Not as comfy to hold. It's just the regular old SNES. Got to go first party.
Oh yeah,
man. Like this just hit me too. Like obviously one big huge mainstay of the NES was the Power Glove. Everybody remembers the Power Glove.
Of course.
Imagine playing Mortal Kombat on the Power Glove. Like, let's just say you had to use the Power Glove to actually play Mortal Kombat.
How do you? Well, that was for NES, right? So
yeah.
You wouldn't
know. Yeah, I don't know. It's probably just a big fantasy thing, but I just find that funny. It's just like, I would love to meet the person out there who sucks at Mortal Kombat, but you put a Power Glove in his hands, and he's a god on Mortal Kombat. I just kind of want to see that.
I need to Google the Power Glove, because I've honestly never used one, because my first system was a Super Nintendo.
I don't think I ever seen it in real life.
Yeah, same. I may have seen it in real life.
Yeah.
How the fuck were you supposed to use this thing anyway? I guess you just hold out your thing, and with your left hand, or right, if you're right-handed. Well, I think this is only right-handed. What the Christ is this? Yeah, how would you play Mortal Kombat with that? I don't think it's possible.
I don't think it's possible either, but I bet someone out there has and succeeded. I don't know if they're good.
Well, like I said, that's an NES attachment, so unless they'd have to mod.
Yeah.
Or emulate.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, if you could put that hook that up to emulator. Challenge, combat time challenge. Somebody please upload a video of them playing Mortal Kombat. Doesn't matter the game, with a Power Glove on an emulator. Want to see it?
I would have to, you know, I don't know how young or old most of our audience is, but being that the Power Glove is like back when I was a little kid, I'm going to assume that probably most of our audience would have to research what the Power Glove even is.
Yeah.
True.
Just watch Freddy's Dead Final Nightmare to get a little preview of how it's used in action.
That's actually the cool way of doing it. I would say a better movie is The Wizard. Fred Savage is in that movie.
Oh yeah, that would be actually much better, because I think that had involvement from Nintendo.
Yeah, it did. When Super Mario Brothers 3 was the big reveal in that movie, and it was about some kid who was just a god at video games, but the main villain, he used the Power Glove for every video game. Like, he was a Power Glove product placement in of himself.
Did, like, the movement of your hands control anything, or is it literally just something that looks cool and you wear a controller
both,
on your
like
wrist?
You would actually, I think you would move with your fingers, and then if you had to, like, say jump with Mario, you would so the Power Glove would be on your left hand, you would be moving your fingers to actually move Mario, and then you'd press buttons on the Power Glove to actually make him jump.
Okay, wild.
So no D-pad. So that's why I'm like, I'd love to see some.
I mean, no, there is a D-pad on it. I'm looking at a configuration of the Power Glove. Yeah. It has a D-pad.
But it had, like, I think
it's probably optional.
But I think it had, like, you know, some early version of, like, I guess you could say, like, a very low-tech motion controls, where if you move your fingers, you actually move the character, depending on how it's set up. But I could be wrong on that.
This shit looks like a BlackBerry, too. It's got way more buttons than even the Super Nintendo or a fucking N64 has. I don't understand what they all do.
It was a controller designed to play, like, any game at the time. So you could map the crap out of that thing, from my understanding. But I don't know how you did it.
Yeah, I don't know how you would do that with a Nintendo. Interesting.
Yeah. But just interesting as far as, like, these gimmicky-ass controllers. And they still exist today, but I'm kind of, like, on the notion that, like,
oh my
whatever
god,
whatever controller that you come with, you know, that comes to a console, that's the controller you have to use, like, all the time. I don't really get... Go ahead, Josh.
I'll get off of this little search thing, but I instantly came up with a picture of someone modded a Power Glove to look like the Infinity Gauntlet. They even got the Infinity Stones on it. That's, of course they did that, yeah. All right, I'm going to close this window.
Yeah. One thing I did actually want to bring up as far as, like, more modern... Well, maybe not, like, modern controllers, but I guess you could say, like, not as classic sort of mid controllers is the PlayStation controller. I remember playing MK Trilogy on the PlayStation back when it came out, because of course after Genesis, that was the next console that I actually got, was the PlayStation. And yeah, it's like that also did, but that also changed it up, because I'm so used to, again, having the punches being the topmost buttons, but on the PlayStation controller, it's more of a, I guess you could say, like a cross, or like a...
And it's actually arranged exactly like the Super Nintendo controller. So
yeah, but the Super,
you know, if I had played Mortal Kombat and PlayStation, which I did not, I wouldn't have had much trouble adjusting because the layout's exactly the same.
But I'm so used to the idea, at least back in the time. I don't think like this now, but back in the time, I was so used to like the topmost buttons being punch buttons that when the triangle is high kick, that throws me through like for a damn loop. I was thinking like square should be low punch and then triangle should be high punch and then the kick should be corresponding to that.
Well, it's kind of like Yacine and I were arguing about the placement. It's like the square and X are kind of the lower buttons and H, triangle and circle are kind of the upper buttons if you look at it from a certain point of view, like Obi-Wan says.
Yeah, it's just... It's,
or actually square. I think and,
it, no, it's the other way.
Yeah, square. Triangle. I'm sorry. It is the other way. We were arguing. Triangle and square are the upper buttons because they're high punch and high kick. And vice and yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I do love the fact that the bumpers or the triggers on the top of the PlayStation controller, just probably one of the best things for the game, like for just the general gamepad in general, no matter what console, when you have upper buttons, because that lets your fingers just naturally kind of hang on those. And mm-hmm. the fact that like the top one is block and you actually use your finger for that and then your left one is run. I never really used my left hand up for anything other than the D-pad for fighting games unless I have to. And this is just a me thing. But I love the fact that if it had two, like if you had, I forget if the PlayStation had two of those buttons. I know later PlayStation controllers have two on the top, but I don't think the original PlayStation had two.
You mean like the bumper and the trigger?
Yeah, the bumper and the trigger.
I think the original PlayStation was just the bumpers. And I just want to say, Jay, Nintendo did it first.
Yeah.
Because that's what Super Nintendo controller is. They broke the mold.
Yep.
Or whatever, set the trend.
Well, that's
guess what?
That's Nintendo.
They made a Rumble Pack, and then they come out with a DualShock controller. Sony be copying Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. It makes sense.
Just saying.
Yeah, like I'm not... like
Nintendo's better.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. Well, they're definitely the worst with MK1. That's undeniable.
Wait, what? They're worse of MK? Nintendo?
No, with MK1. The new MK1, specifically.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your audio cut out, so I didn't hear the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kicked your ass. Right that's yeah, almost kicked your ass. Debatable, Jay. Well, we assessed MK1, the real MK1. And I'll give that to you. The Genesis version plays a little better, except for the control scheme.
Yeah.
It looks like shit, though.
One thing, Josh, I wanted to ask you about your experience, because this is actually a realm where I never got to know it. I'm over here talking about PlayStation and Genesis a little bit. What was it like playing really any Mortal Kombat game on the N64 controller? Because that's a controller right there.
That's a controller. Do we have a picture of that up so I can
we
reference
do.
To? Yeah,
let we
me,
do.
Where'd I
you
put
see-
that? Honestly, it wasn't that bad, and the only two MK games to play were Trilogy and 4, not counting Mythologies, of course. Let me scroll up so I can get a picture so I have a visual, even though, like the Super Nintendo, I really kind of know what the N64 looks like by heart. Y'all didn't post a picture of it. Where is it?
It's up there.
Oh, there it is. Honestly, because I would use, of course, the D-pad, which, you know, everyone likes to make fun of the N64 controller like it's some fucking alien thing that comes from a planet where people have three hands, but it's like, no, the design is clear. Some games use the D-pad, so you put your left hand all the way in the left. Some games, like the 3D games, like Mario, use the center, so you just ignore the left thing and hold it a little lopsided. And of course, for Mortal Kombat Trilogy, which, funny thing, the first game I bought for Nintendo 64, this is how much a Mortal Kombat fan I was Mortal Kombat Trilogy. I don't think my N64 came packaged. Some of them did. I don't think mine came packaged with Mario 64. I had to buy it separate, so that was the first thing I wanted. And I remember my mom looking at me playing it, and she's like, this is the game you want for us? For this new groundbreaking system that like is supposed to be like rocking the world? You didn't get Mario 64, you got 2D Mortal Kombat? I'm like, yeah. And you know what? She was right. Mortal Kombat Trilogy kind of sucks. So I don't remember if Trilogy or maybe 4 did, but I don't think Trilogy did use the analog stick at all. So really, I'm just holding on the left handle and using the D-pad like normal. And, you know, besides the bizarre shape of controller, it's not that much different from using the Super Nintendo. Oh, well, except the C buttons, because you only got your A and B button. Those would be for punches. So then the kicks must have been relegated to one of the C buttons, which I don't remember. And then, of course, the shoulder buttons are still there. It's almost probably like our experience playing Deadly Alliance on the GameCube controller. A little bit of adjustment with, yeah, the high kicks and the low kick, but otherwise, ergonomics wise, not that bad. Not that
when
much
I,
different.
Like the game, like the N64 controller always kind of throws me for a loop, mainly because if I ever play a fighting game, I'm on, like on a gamepad 10 times out of 10. I can't think of any other reason. Well, actually, no, Smash Brothers, because Smash is unique. But other than that, other than Smash, if I'm ever playing a fighting game on a pad, I'm always using the D-pad regardless of controller. But with N64, yeah, every time I look at where that joystick is, and I look at, and I remember just how bulky the N64 controller was, I feel like it would be more natural to kind of tilt it to the right and use the stick as my directional, and then actually my finger or my thumb specifically is more comfortably placed on the green, blue, and yellow buttons to actually have more of a, I guess you could say, like, I guess like almost like a Super Nintendo kind of like kind of
that
configuration.
Would be the shape.
And I,
or honestly, you could sit, since it's got stands basically, you could set it on the floor and do the Tekken method,
yeah,
and you could treat it like a gamepad. But that's assuming the analog stick controls. You guys played MK4 with me at my place. Do you remember now if the analog stick controlled the character, or was it just the D-pad?
I forget. I think the analog stick though did control the character. I mean, I can't see any reason why it wouldn't.
3D game and all that, except it was very much still played. I mean, I could go turn on my N64 and solve this right now, but I won't do that because I think my GameCube's currently plugged in. I'd have to pull some wires.
But yeah, but imagine you're playing Mortal Kombat and you've got just that controller. Like, you don't have your, you don't have PlayStation. All you have is N64, but you want to play Mortal Kombat. You have the option,
and
you just
this
have
is
that
awkward
controller.
You're showing me the picture you sent us is the control scheme layout specifically for MK4, because the shoulder buttons are actually your sidestep buttons, and the block button this time is the Z trigger, which is on the back side of the controller, which you would use. Fuck! Wait! How the fuck's that work? Because if you're using the, I guess it did use the analog stick at that point.
Yeah.
Because if you're playing with the D-pad, you wouldn't be able to hit the Z trigger.
Yeah, it's like,
fuck.
It's super interesting because when you really think about these controllers, and MK4 being an arcade cabinet style game first, obviously if you're strafing, you're just moving, like you're moving the joystick. Like, you're moving up and down, left and right. But,
well, no, I don't know. Well, Jay, let's Google the MK4 arcade panel layout, because it didn't have, it wasn't quite like Virtua Fighter or Tekken. It was kind of their first time doing 3D, and I think the sidestep button was in the arcade too. So up would still make you jump. I'm gonna type this out. MK4 arcade.
Maybe you're
layout.
Right, because I remember we did. Like, I remember we played that, and my memory's just kind of foggy on it. Maybe you're right about that. Maybe it wasn't what I'm thinking. But then again, I have Tekken on my brain right now, so I know that if you're moving back and forth, you're gonna hit the up button. You're
that's
not
a phrase that's being repeated a lot today.
Well,
man, Tekken, man.
It's a good game. Tekken 8's a very good game. So at least right now, I'm waiting for people to find all the craziness that's in it, because yeah, there's probably some broken crap in that game that no one's uncovered yet.
Oh, I saw one on TikTok the other day that, ooh, that was like, that's dangerous. I guess it's mostly for, I guess, PC players, people who play on PC.
Yeah.
Apparently there's like this kind of glitch or something like that where the person playing on the PC can do like the screenshot command on their PC or on their, like, whatever, like, I don't know if it's on OBS or something else, but doing a screenshot of the game causes a delay on the other player, I think.
Oh, boy.
Which can mess up their combo.
That's dirty.
Yeah, that's some dirty crap.
Okay, I'm
and
looking.
The way the person saw it was that they saw it on someone's Twitch stream.
Oh.
Where every few seconds they would see, like, they would hear like a camera go off, camera shutter go off, and then someone put it together like, oh, this guy is cheating. He's using the snapshot feature to cause a delay so that the other guy messes up their combo.
Mm.
That's fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at the MK4. I won't bother posting a picture because it's identical. They got the 5-button layout with the block button and then the run button at the bottom. And according to GameFAQs, the run button's a multi-button. It's also used to pick up items and sidestep.
Ah.
So not the joystick.
Wow. Again, just think.
Mortal Kombat's not about that, using the joystick to do additional features. That's the Street Fighter thing. But Mortal Kombat likes buttons.
But, you know, but still, it's just like, I do find that just, again, in a way, super interesting, because as Mortal Kombat is evolving, you know, and adding all these new mechanics that require more buttons to utilize, but yet it started off as this sort of weird fight and button control scheme, and then you have Street Fighter, which really hasn't gone away from the six button control scheme. Like, they've sort of had things where you press this many buttons together in order to do a thing, like a super move or certain players' moves or whatever. But I just think it's like interesting that Mortal Kombat has kind of been forced as it modernized to add mechanics that ended up like actually causing them to sort of, I guess you could say, get with more. I don't want to say they did it on purpose to get with more controllers. It's just that I wonder if, like, if games evolved to match controllers because of where controllers were going, or if controllers had to match where games were going based on their mechanics, at least in terms of fighting games. Because it seems like in America that's the case.
I think with fighting games, I'm going to go out and say with fighting games evolved separately from consoles because there's so much arcade related that they just had to make it work. I think the console, the control scheme was just focused on what their first party flagship games needed.
Yeah, because now I think Josh, I was telling you this really funny story where, like, and again, it's a little off track, but it's kind of funny. Like, because for personal reference, I own two arcade sticks. Like, I like playing arcade sticks with fighting games, depending on the fighting game, and depending on the character. But one thing I did is that I used to play Street Fighter 4 a lot on arcade stick. And I remember, Josh, I think I told you that I tried to play Resident Evil 5 on an arcade stick when Resident Evil 5 came out.
I don't know if I remember
this
story.
Yeah, I tried to. Because you could plug it in, and I'm over here trying to play Resident Evil 5 on arcade stick, and I already knew, like, I'm probably going to die so quick, and I'm not going to have nearly enough buttons to do what I'm going to do.
How the fuck do you aim?
You don't.
The aim button and shoot.
You don't. You're basically running straight, and you're just strafing left to right. That was the thing that killed me. I can't really turn. I can only strafe left to right, move up and down and back, so trying to move around was just awkward. But
you know, old school Resident Evil might be interesting on an arcade stick. I could see that making a thing. You still need to figure out what your hold and aim button, but it's since a slower paced game.
Yeah, but I'm just like when we were talking about strafing in Mortal Kombat 4, that's kind of like where my brain defaulted to. And I'm just like, huh, you know, this had to work. Obviously, you need another button on an arcade cabinet, which now that makes me want to like look up like specifically MK4 arcade cabinet, because technically when you get into MK3.
Well, I just did.
Yeah. It just kind of makes me just want to do it too, because I obviously didn't see the image. But, you know, because technically when you look at it, MK3 is a six button control scheme. It's just a really awkward one because you have the five.
I'll open it back up.
Because you have the five buttons with the block button in the middle, and then the red button is kind of off to the side. That's actually, I think, closer to the joystick than it is the other buttons. So it's just super interesting to think that, like,
yeah,
where does your brain go? Like, how did, like, imagine trying to play that now, and you're like, you're gonna always have to look down at the arcade cabinet and be like, oh, the run button's over here and the block button's over here, and you have to like completely just do an entire different muscle memory in here order to get that.
I mean, at this point you've already played MK3 and I'm assuming the run button was off down in the corner too, and it's just like, yeah, I don't, it is an extra button to reach for sure.
Yeah, it's,
you can't play it like your Street Fighter piano player thing.
No,
and I don't think you're gonna play it with all your fingers placed. You're gonna play it like I said earlier, whack-a-mole. You're going to be a little kid just playing Simon Says, hitting the buttons.
Yeah. But also, Josh, kind of going back to what I said, look in that picture you just posted for MK4, look at the joystick for MK4. It looks like
it's a baseball bat, like you described.
Yeah, it looks like a baseball bat. That's kind of what I mean when I was saying earlier about Japanese arcade cabinets versus American arcade cabinets. Because when you buy a stick, like let's just say you're going to buy an arcade stick for anything, like probably 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a default Japanese style arcade cabinet stick. It's going to be the lollipop, and you're not going to have to press buttons for your arcade buttons. They're going to be the more dome-like ones that the Japanese use, unless you customize it. That's the beautiful thing about sticks. You can just customize them, and you can make it a North American style stick. But it's
now I'm curious. We're gonna go deep here. What does the arcade 1-ups use?
I think they use standard Japanese parts for a lot of their sticks. I'm actually pretty sure of that.
Holy shit, yeah, they got the lollipop.
Yeah, I mean,
let me see if I can blow it up and see if the buttons are dome or not.
But also, it's just that, arcade, North American arcade cabinets are just generally stiffer. Like the buttons are stiffer and the sticks are stiffer. Like you have to work a little harder. And that's just a preference. Some people prefer that. Other people don't. I mean, it really just depends on the person. But with Mortal Kombat, it's just like trying to go from North American style to Japanese style arcade stick, even if you customize it, is always interesting. Because
I'm sorry, I lied. It is the baseball bat and depress buttons for the arcade 1-Up machine.
So it is?
Yeah. Okay. It's not lollipop.
Well, if that
it's not Japan.
Well, if that's the case, then they're doing it how it should be done. Because really, if you're making a Mortal Kombat 1, 2, or 3 arcade cabinet, or even 4, it's not official or it's not, you know, correct officially unless you have the North American buttons, because it is a North American game.
That's true.
Yeah. It's just every time looking at that control scheme, I'm just like thinking about where the hand naturally goes. And I don't think when they were making this button layout, they really thought about where the hand naturally sits when they were doing it. They were thinking, I
beg to differ. I'm pretty sure, you know, me and Yassine are both still at the beginning of reading Long Live Mortal Kombat, but I'm pretty sure that was a conscious decision with a button layout.
Yeah. I'd like to know more of that, actually. So when you and Yassine finish that book, save me some time and just let me know what the reasoning was, because I've always been really...
Or you could read it.
You want to borrow our notes? Want to cheat in the test?
Yes. Huh? Yeah. Like, I've got better things to do with my life. You guys read the book.
Than reading.
You're on a Mortal Kombat podcast. You know?
Yeah. I got to edit and record. I ain't got time to read.
Who reads?
Who reads?
Yeah.
I do.
Well,
actually, I'm having trouble getting through the book, not because it's bad, but just because I have been busy. I admittedly have been a little too busy to read lately, and I am reading something else for reference rather than pleasure, and just not a lot of time in the day.
Yeah,
I'll get to it though. It's a big ass book.
Yeah, probably a very good one though. Like stuff like that to me is always just interesting when you look at like how all these games came together and where their mind was at the time. I mean, if anything, I give Mortal Kombat credit for like being the different child, because when it comes to fighting games, your default setting is probably always going to be 6-button layout, or maybe with Tekken 4-button layout. But the way those buttons are placed on the cabinet or on a stick is just, it's all, everybody's going to have the exact same subconscious image in their head. Joystick on the left, and then a slight arc of buttons to the right because of how
you mean in Japan, they don't put the joystick on the right and the buttons on the left?
Nope, they don't, Josh.
Or is that Australia?
Nope.
Okay. And you put the quarters at the top instead of the bottom? Anyway.
Yeah, stuff like that. But still, like when you have controllers like that, that's why a lot of people, I don't think this argument has any weight anymore because it's all about preference. But in the early 2000s, there was a subset of people talking about like, oh, if you're only a real pro if you play an arcade stick for like, say, Street Fighter, and you're like a noob if you play on like, you know, game pads, which is a really dumb argument because it's all about just personal preference about what you're comfortable with and what you're good with. Some people grew up in areas where all they had was the arcade, and then other people, all they had was the home console and maybe a shitty controller, but they adapted to that, and their muscle memory just naturally configures to that. But I'm kind of like one of these people that I was a little bit of both. Like, I got the arcade experience and the home console experience, so like depending on the game and just my mood, maybe I want to play it on stick, maybe I want to play it on pad. But it's always interesting that each time I go back and forth, I kind of have to readjust my mentality doing it every single time, because I'm not using my thumbs nearly as much on one controller, and then I'm using my thumbs literally all the time on another. So it's just like it's interesting, especially when you're talking about Mortal Kombat specifically, because of just how they're
probably more likely to get carpal tunnel playing on the controller console. Maybe not. None of us have carpal tunnel. We grew up with consoles and keyboards, so
yeah,
I think we're pretty good.
I oftentimes trip out because if I'm playing Mortal Kombat 1, 2, or 3 on arcade stick, let's just say I mod it for that, I usually do it to where the punches are at the top and then the block button is the button that basically my top...
The bottom center, I guess.
No, basically the top three buttons are low punch, high punch, block, and then the bottom buttons are low kick, high kick, run, if I'm playing Mortal Kombat 3. Like, that's going to be, because that's where my brain is naturally going to default. But then actually playing it like that It's like, okay, my pinky has to hit the block button. Now my pinky is hitting the run button, but I can't really hit both buttons at the same time. I don't know why I would.
Well, why would you want to?
Yeah, why would you want to? You never would need to. Well, maybe like, maybe, it's not a function. Well, maybe you want to do a thing where maybe you want to bait someone. You want to run towards them and then just block because you think they're going to counter it. Like some people do that. It's like, technically I could do that with my pinky.
Then you want to arrange your buttons differently.
Yeah, yeah. But obviously I can't do other moves if I arrange the buttons differently. So I have to rethink my entire muscle memory. And I just have to find something that's comfortable. But if I'm on an arcade cabinet, I don't have that option. The buttons are where they are and I got to get good. So, you know, it's like you're kind of forced into a situation where you have to play the game a certain way based on the button layout, and then when you customize it on your stick, it's like, oh, I can't play it this way because this layout is not the way I want it or I'm used to, so I have to figure it all out. That's actually why, like, now on sticks you actually have 8 buttons instead of 6, because you have like your 4 basic buttons and then you have your bumper and your trigger for both sides, but it's on a stick. So you have 8.
So they're accommodating for modern control schemes that use more buttons. I got a stupid question. Tournament scene, is there a regulation as far as that? Obviously, they're all going to be played console or PC or something, right?
I think the only regulation that they have is that, like, if you're one of these people that has, like, turbo on your stick, then there might be some...
That's
like,
obviously outlawed.
Yeah, like, depending on, you know, the game, because not all games use turbo. But like, for example, if you're playing like Marvel vs. Capcom 2, for just pure example, your turbo is going to give you advantages there. If you're playing Dragon Ball Z Fighters, your turbo is going to give you some advantages there too, as far as like how you switch out and stuff like that. But really, no, I don't think so. There's people that bring their PlayStation control and they play on pad. There's people that bring their arcade stick. There's people that bring...
Okay.
North American style arcade sticks, the crazy one.
That's what I'm thinking too, specifically arcade sticks where you can reconfigure it to where you can do some tricky shit. Like, that's my thinking. Would that be outlawed or not?
No,
I guess not.
It really just depends on comfort and how your button configuration is set up. Like, obviously, you can't set your kick button to where when you press kick button, it's auto kick every single time, which is what turbo is. Turbo is like let's just say you're playing like one of those mini games in Mortal Kombat to where you have to press the button like simultaneously a lot of the time. Well, if you turn on the turbo option, you're pressing kick like a million times faster than what your finger can actually
basically
do.
Cheat your way through, test your might.
Yeah, test your might.
You or like cheat your test your cheatness.
Yeah, nothing I guess so. So you couldn't do stuff like that. Like Josh, in this case. Chun-Li, right? How do you do her 1,000 kick? Mm-hmm. You have to mash kick a lot. So if you turn on turbo, all you have to do is just hold down the kick button just once. And then all of a sudden she's doing it. So for stuff like that, I think that would be outlawed. But for other reasons, if you want to come up in there and bring a Neo Geo controller because you're just that good on it, you can. So
gosh, I gotta Google what that shit looks like.
Yeah. Josh, if you could be that good with Mortal Kombat, you could come in there with a flight simulator controller and then play.
Hell
on
yeah,
that.
Man.
And used to,
boy, that's an
idea.
You
ever seen those like videos of people? I mean, it's a random topic, but people playing like Elden Ring with like a Guitar Hero like guitar or something like that. Like,
what the fuck?
Like I've seen videos like that on like Instagram and stuff. It's like, it's ridiculous.
That sounds actually like fun with a Guitar Hero guitar. You get to stand and just almost sounds immersive.
Yeah, they're actually, the crazy thing nowadays, I really want to try one of these, is people are starting to come in there with Hitbox arcade sticks. And what that is...
I've thought about getting one of those.
Those are interesting. And Josh, if you don't know what that is, very clear...
I'm Googling it now.
Very clear difference. There is no joystick. Your directionals are buttons.
Whoa. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it. It looks like a stenographer's keyboard.
Well, like, I'm sure it is at first, but what you gain from it is very clear precision in your directionals. So, like, if you're the type of person that, if you have a fighting game character that does a dive kick, like, say, Kung Lao, he does the dive kick. You could, in theory, you could be very precise depending on your spacing in the air about when to initiate that dive kick with a hitbox than, in theory, you could on a stick. And you could switch it out. You could play different hitboxes, and the only thing you're really worried about is just your reaction time from you pressing the button till the command of the button being pressed initiates the move. That's the only thing you're really worried about, versus on a stick where I think I hit the diagonal, but I was kind of slightly down more towards the front or slightly up towards the up, and then the game kind of registers it as an up move versus a diagonal up, if you get what I mean. Like,
yeah, you know, Jay, this is up my alley, because especially if you want to lead into talking at all about any of the modern controllers, playing MK1 on my Switch, I've been using the Switch Pro controller.
Yeah.
And my biggest problem, because I think the D-pad is a membrane, so it's all one thing, I am constantly accidentally doing a diagonal when I want to do, you know, fucking Scorpion Spear or something like that, to the point that I'm thinking, like, when I pick it back up, I'd rather use my Joy-Cons again in their holder, because the D-pad on the Joy-Con is separate buttons, and I might be able to have more precision that this is allowing. Also find it funny that one of the first thing that comes up under the Google suggestions is a Hitbox controller tournament legal, which it says, yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Because, I mean, it's just a joystick. It's just your joystick is buttons. So, like, if you're going to do a strafe, like if you're going to do a shimmy where you move forward and backwards, it's like, okay, I'm going to use my index finger to move forward. I'm going to use my pinky to hit the back button effectively and move back. I'm going to hit the up button. And if I want to do a diagonal jump, I'm going to hit the up button and then the forward button in a piano-like motion, doing a diagonal.
I'm confused by looking at this because it's not in a circle. So you might have said, what's down and what's back, or what's down?
Is it all the way at the bottom there? Yeah, there's a button for down, because the reason why it's confusing...
So this is like a WASD sort of setup where you can lay all your fingers and they're where they need to be.
Yeah,
and you don't have to move them, basically.
Well, I mean, fundamentally, it's just on your hand, you've got five fingers, but you're not going to use your thumb for this. So you really only have four fingers to do your directionals, because when you have your D-pad, you have up, down, left, and right.
Yeah.
So when you think about where your hand... If you lay your hand on a flat surface, look at where your fingers naturally are, and then look at that.
Actually, I see a layout here that has just the directional buttons outlined, and it's basically the arc that your fingers would make if you lay them down.
Yes.
And that would require me reprogramming my brain,
because
I want to think up, down, left, right, not just, you know, WASD.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could see that being an advantage.
And that's going to affect your gameplay, because maybe moves that you had a lot of problems doing in MK, you can do a lot better now, but then... Your back forward moves maybe are a little bit harder because you're thinking back forward as a clear straight line like the D-pad, but on this controller, it's not a straight line. It's more of a diagonal slash directional based on how your fingers are placed. So that's going to fundamentally change your muscle memory, which is going to affect how you play the game, which is going to affect your overall experience with the game. So that's why this stuff kind of matters when it comes to experience with controllers, because it's going to shape your enjoyment of the game as a whole. Like, that's why I find it kind of super fascinating to play different games on different controllers, particularly over time, because you can have good memories with this stuff. I have the best memory of playing Marvel vs. Capcom 2 specifically with the Dreamcast controller. I mastered that game on the Dreamcast controller to the point to where I could, like, do it in my sleep. Like, I knew exactly where everything was, and I still think if I held a Dreamcast controller in my hand and I played MVC2, I would know exactly what to do. I'd know the timing of bringing out characters, doing super moves, what to do. But if I played on an arcade stick, I'm going to be staring down at my controller here and there and just kind of quickly remembering what I'm doing. And where everything is. It would take me some time to unlearn that, because I spent so many years playing this one game on this one controller in this one way. And I feel that way about Smash. It's like, if I have to play Smash on a pro controller, that's probably the easiest translation. But if I have to play Smash on, say, an N64 controller or a PlayStation controller, I'm all jacked up. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's like I'm going to be all over the place.
Smash started out in the N64 controller.
Yeah. I think it depends on the game and how serious you are about it. Because for Smash, it's like, even though I can't stand the GameCube controller, but if I play on the N64 controller, I feel like it'll take me like maybe a round or two and then I'd be able to get used to it. Whereas with like Tekken, I don't know if I could, well, I don't know. No, I think because I play Tekken and Mortal Kombat so much on gamepads, whenever I go to fight stick, it just don't feel right. And that's why I know that I'm never going to take fighting games as seriously, like at a tournament level or whatever. So I'm just like, I grew up on it on the consoles and, you know, on gamepads. So that's just how I play.
I mean, you could still...
Same.
You could still do tournament scene, but you just play on a pad. Most like there's plenty of like tournament scene places locally where if you show up there, like, there's people playing on Xbox and PlayStation controllers all the time because that's what they're comfortable with, because they're like you. They didn't grow up with arcades. That's just, that's what's fascinating about
it. I'm
going
to roll up here my Joy-Cons or my Guitar Rock Hero controller and be like, let's go, brother.
Well, hold on a second. Let's not say that I didn't grow up with arcades.
Yeah, we all did.
I grew up in the era. We grew up in the era of kids, but I just didn't.
I'm like you've seen, too. I played like MK every day. Arcades, but not every day. And yeah, definitely I am. If you put the fight, if I went over to play Tekken of you, Jay, or let's say Mortal Kombat for the sake of discussion, and you put out your fight stick controller, I'm going to feel like you've seen. I'm going to feel like not quite in my element, even though, yeah, I played it in arcades. I am more comfortable with my thumbs.
I'm sure I could adapt probably.
Oh, yeah. It's like Jay says, muscle memory.
If I had a choice, I would just go with my, yeah, with the controller.
That's like what Jay says. It's like there's no right or wrong thing. It's what's best suited for you.
Yeah. Or it's exactly like what you're exposed to, because, like, for example, whenever we play fighting games, where do we usually play it at? We usually play it at my place, which means that even though both of you do not have the Xbox at all, by playing me at my place, you're kind of forced to play on the Xbox controller.
Yeah, but at this point, controls are all, like, the Nintendo Pro Controller is not that much different from an Xbox controller, and playing something like Resident Evil on my Switch versus your, or any other non-fighting game is, or things that involve menus, is a little fucks me up, because of course Nintendo, the A button is at the bottom, and that's what you use to open menus, and on the Xbox I gotta use the A button on the left, and that always fucks me up. But for Mortal Kombat, the layout of the buttons is still identical, so they just, this bottom left one, that's high punch or front punch, what it is now, it's pretty uniform. And I don't know what the PS5 controller looks like, but
I mean, the PS5 controller, the only difference is that the placement of the D-pad and the left stick.
Yeah, so I see. I'm looking at it now.
If you want to talk about, like, placement, that's the only difference. If you want to talk about, like, the feel of the controllers, it's very different, like, D-pad and, like, the face buttons are, I don't know how different they are. I've never seen
that. I'm looking at the face buttons now. It looks like, that, you know, it might be different between Nintendo and Xbox. The A and B are at different places, but it's still the diamond arrangement. Yeah. Same with PlayStation.
But the Pro Controller for the Nintendo Switch, the buttons are definitely bigger.
I'm looking that up now, too.
And that's why I remember playing MK11 with you and having to get used to how much bigger the face buttons are. As far as, like, when I'm, you know, sliding to do different combos and stuff.
Interesting.
Or different moves.
Are they that much bigger?
It feels a little different.
They look about
the same. It feels bigger. It feels bulkier to me.
Looking at it now, I don't know if they look bigger in size, but they definitely, you're right, bulkier. They're more elevated, whereas PlayStation is slightly more flush looking.
Yeah, and the D-pad is what's really different between all three.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's completely swapped on the Nintendo. The D-pad's at the bottom, second analog, left analog's at the top.
But even, yeah, not even just the control, the placement, but even the style of D-pad is different between Xbox and PlayStation.
Honestly, looking at your PS5, it's once again separate buttons for the D-pad versus the membrane one for the Switch, which I do not like.
Which I'm used to, but at the same time, hold on, let me get my PS4 controller. I think the PS5 controller, the D-pad placement is, the button placements are a little bit farther away. Let me double check. What took me a while to get used to, they're about the same distance. What took me a while to get used to with the PS5 controller is that the buttons are glossy instead of like this, like whatever material it is, whatever plastic texture is on here, it's more glossy. And I remember the first fighting game I played on my PS5 when I got it was King of Fighters 15, and I remember just it was hard to do like quarter circle for some reason. It took me a while to get used to it, but now I'm better at it, because now I've played, you know, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter 6 stuff, so now I'm used to it now.
I almost want to say your finger could glide across it easier to do quarter circles, like Jay was talking about the piano players of Japanese arcades.
I don't know if it's the glossiness or something like that, but it just, like, my finger would stop.
Huh.
It wouldn't glide over.
Oh, okay. The opposite of what I'm thinking. Interesting.
Yeah. I think as I don't know, maybe it's the more I used it, the more I kind of, maybe I wore it down or something. I don't know what it was, but now it feels more natural to me. But I remember the first like month or so, I was like, oh man, this D-pad is really bugging me.
Damn.
But yeah, the good thing about, I mean, that's kind of the, while I miss the novelty of like older controllers and how they were trying to figure out, you know, 3-button versus 2-button versus 6-button versus 4-button with the shoulders, and then you get the analog stick, all that, like there was a bunch of experimentation. And I think it was really cool back then. But I think the good thing about having controllers, that modern controllers that kind of all are very, very similar, is that you can go between different consoles.
Yeah.
Like I can play Mortal Kombat 1 on the Switch and not have that much of a problem. And I can, and going between the Xbox and the PS5 is pretty seamless to me.
It's actually not for me, but that's just because of less exposure. Because even though I play Xbox controller, there's some friends that I hang out with, and sometimes once in a while we go over to another friend's house, and that person loves Street Fighter as well, but they have it on PlayStation. So I've actually got to play Street Fighter 6 on the PS5 controller, and it's not as seamless as I would like it to believe. The PlayStation buttons are a lot more sensitive, and so is the D-pad than the Xbox one. So I find myself pressing the PS5 pad harder than I need to than the Xbox controller, probably because it's less bulky. And I find myself flipping the trigger, like the trigger, especially the right trigger for me is really sensitive. Cause you've seen, I don't, because
oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, the triggers on the PS5 are super, like yeah. super sensitive. Like even if I'm like shifting around in my chair or whatever, and I put it down briefly, sometimes the R2 or the L2 would just hit. And I'm like, oh shoot,
man.
So
I guess there are differences.
Oh yeah,
there are significant differences.
Yeah, and sensitivity is like probably like a big thing, because if you're used to pressing a button with a certain amount of force in order for you to do a move, and it's we're talking like whatever a small way to say increments of pressure. Like it's so small, it's kind of hard to comprehend, but it does exist. But trying to calculate that. You almost instinctively calculate, like if I'm going to do Johnny Cage's shadow kick, it's back forward kick or whatever kick. I know the timing of hitting back forward then kick in a certain sequence that I know that will 10 times out of 10 initiate the shadow kick. But if I have a different controller, that timing is completely different. It's like I may have to hit back forward kick and do it slower, or I may have to do it faster, or I may have to press the buttons a lot lighter. Because if I press it too hard, it's going to come out slower, and then I didn't do it when I want to. It's like these things translate into different controllers all the time. So that's why nowadays in gaming and tournaments, if you wanted to go to one, you could just bring whatever the most comfortable pad is ever. You probably got people coming in here with PlayStation controllers that are scratched, dinged, messed up, burned, God knows, and used for God knows what else.
Battle scars.
Yeah, battle scars. But it has this certain configuration that the person is used to. And the sensitivity that they're used to. So they're going to be incredibly good with it. But you hand them a regular controller, they'll probably be okay, but they're going to be slightly off, like in their timing, because they're not used to that particular controller.
It's like driving someone else's car, essentially.
Yeah. And
you always feel a little weird, not just the seat, but just everything.
And like, yeah, and yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. Like for the casual scene, I kind of feel like you can like kind of forgive this, but if you go to a tournament where there's real money on the line, the last thing you want is a controller that you're unfamiliar with. You're going to want to be comfortable with your controller. And and you have to build that. Like, that just takes time to do. You just have to use a certain controller. And arcade sticks are going to be far more worse with this than even game pads. Because when you buy a stick, that's a stick that you're making an investment in. Because sticks cost like $200, $300 in some cases these days. And because you can customize them, people love to change out the layout. They customize them. They sometimes have a baseball bat. They sometimes have a lollipop. They use specific type of buttons that are made by specific type of companies for pressure sensitivity reasons. They even have like different maps for layouts. Like Josh, one thing I was getting to is that sticks these days do default with 8 buttons on there for more modern controls, but you can customize it to where your arcade stick only has 6 buttons and you need a certain layout to do that. You can buy what is called like a plastic map for your stick where it'll only allow 6 buttons. You remove like 2 buttons out of the stick, and then this map will cover up the holes in your arcade stick and allow you to only have 6 buttons, so you don't accidentally like throw your pinky in a random hole in your sticks, you know, at some point. Like there's ways to do this, and some people are just all about it. My my Street Fighter 4 Mad Cat stick actually had 8 buttons. I customized it to only have 6 because I got tired of playing the game, and when I'm using my pinky to hit a certain button, I'm hitting the furthest button out and not the button beside it because of just instinct. So I wanted to kind of take away that error factor by only having just 6. So people
that makes sense.
Yeah. People go to lengths to do this stuff, man. So it's one of those things that's fascinating when you realize that when you look at people that are really, really good at any fighting game, it doesn't have to be Mortal Kombat, and you look at what they play on, you're going to see a different variety of what they're playing on. But then if they switch to another controller and you see how their gameplay changes as a result of it, because it's not the fact that they lack knowledge, it's just that the way that their muscle memory is configured is going to be different. And thinking about how people grew up with all these different controllers, because the Genesis controller, the PlayStation controller, the NES controller, the Cube, and all that are all so different from each other. Like, think about how that translates into your love of MK or Street Fighter or Tekken over the years and how it's actually evolved. Like, there's probably like a certain amount of knowledge base that you fundamentally understand that other people may now just be getting, but you know how to do it. Like, Josh, I think Scorpion Spear has been the same move set in every single game. It's like, what, back forward
they,
punch?
They changed it in the 3D era games, or in the NetherRealm games. It used to be back low punch. I'm thinking Super Nintendo. Now, in the NetherRealm games, it's back forward, either strong punch or quick punch or whatever the fuck.
And do you find it easier to do the back B or the back forward?
Back, because you don't have to change directions.
Yeah, and so, but that just means that you played so much MK back in the day that you have like innate muscle memory to do back B. You could probably pick up Mortal Kombat right now after a year or so.
Well, see, now I get fucked up because I have picked up, you know, I bought Mortal Kombat 1, 1992 Mortal Kombat 1, to clarify, for the Super Nintendo. And I'm so used to playing NetherRealm games now that, yeah, I did have to recorrect myself back to my original thinking from when I was a kid, back B.
And for me, like with Johnny Cage, like his nut punch, which is the reason why I played him even back in the day, that thing's changed. And honestly, I forget even how to do it because it seems like every single game they change how to do it. So I really couldn't tell you like my comfortable way of doing it. I think if I had to pick one, I think it's the Mortal Kombat 2 way where it's just like, it's down and block. Like you hit down and block at the exact same time. Like there is no hitting a punch button. It's just down and block. And then you do the nut punch. That would be my way of doing it. But these days there's a punch involved in it. You have a reverse Hadouken motion for it. I think that's how you do it now. And it's just interesting that Mortal Kombat didn't used to have like quarter circle forward motions, but now they do. It's like,
well, I mean, Sub-Zero always did.
Yeah. Actually, no, he didn't. He had down forward. No. That's not, you can do it with a quarter circle motion, but it's not a true quarter circle motion because the diagonal is not necessary because you could literally just, you could do it arcade style, on a D-pad where you hit down forward and punch, not glide your finger. You could hit down forward punch and then he's going to do the freeze. So it's not a true directional, but because you've used a D-pad with your thumb so much and it's just easier because you don't have to lift up your thumb and put it down. That's called tracking time. Where you move your finger from one position to another and the time it takes for you to actually hit it, that's tracking time. So with a directional, you're gliding your finger and you're basically cutting down your tracking time, which is why directionals are usually better. But for Mortal Kombat, it's just down forward this and back forward this and down up this or whatever. But now I think with Mortal Kombat 1, really with Mortal Kombat 11 and 10, they started initiating directionals for every character now. So it's interesting just to see how that evolves on newer controllers now versus older controllers. I would actually love to see if you could do this, like let's just say you did some crazy mod where you're playing Mortal Kombat, say 11. With a Super Nintendo controller, like an OG Super Nintendo controller.
Okay.
You probably actually could do it because that's 6 buttons. I mean,
yeah, it is.
I think 11 is a 6 button scheme. I don't think you need any more than that. You'd probably have to do some crazy mapping, but could you do it? Yeah.
I don't think even the mapping would have to be crazy. Like I said, the general layout of the buttons is the same with the shoulder buttons and everything.
But what I find interesting about that, Josh, is that you said earlier, is that you don't even need to have the Super Nintendo controller in your hand to know what to do in a Mortal Kombat game with that controller. It's like right. innate. You remember it. It's muscle memory. So you probably could, if you wanted to, if you were just that comfortable with that controller, like that controller is your boo, like not like your real boo, but your boo, like you could,
it's my boo.
Yeah, you could literally plug, somehow map that crap into your Switch or your Xbox or whatever and play on that controller skill and watch it fundamentally change how you play the game entirely because you have an entirely different controller than
what's Jay, you know, you can buy Super Nintendo controllers for the Switch. I almost want to try this.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be surprised how much more comfortable it might make you feel because of your long history and knowledge base in Mortal Kombat and your muscle memory. I don't know. It's kind of hard to articulate beyond that because if I'm playing Street...
No, I feel you.
Like, because if I'm playing Street Fighter, like for Zangief, for example, I am much more comfortable playing Zangief on a stick than I am with a pad. And that's just because...
Understandable, because of his moveset.
Yeah, because of his moveset. And like with Guile, I'm actually much more comfortable playing Guile on a pad than I am an arcade stick. I can do both, but with how he charges his moves, I like the feeling of a stiff back button as opposed to moving the joystick kind of back, but not all the way or whatever. And like it's almost like I want to play Guile much more stiff than any other character because of how his moveset is.
He's a charge character.
Yeah, because he's a charge character. I like being able to hold that back button and know that I'm actually holding back and not like on a joystick kind of skewing it a little bit and then it just registers it as a back button, if you get what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Like, again, that's kind of like the biggest thing I kind of wanted to address with MK controllers because it matters. And it's going to be super interesting to see in the future because we've got, you know, like with MK1, we've got like all these assists and stuff. If NetherRealms kind of holds to that, is there going to be like more interesting button configurations that are going to be default to the newer Mortal Kombat games that now we're all going to have to get used to? And how is that going to work out? Because I notice that whenever we play on Fightcade, if we play Mortal Kombat 2, I immediately like suck at that game. Yasin and Josh, you both kicked my ass in Mortal Kombat 2. And I'm sitting here because my brain is like in either Street Fighter mode or I'm trying to do moves very fast, but it's an MK2.
Are you talking about on Fightcade? What were you playing then, move? I'm assuming the Xbox controller?
No, I was playing with my arcade stick.
Okay. You should be adapted to that. But then again, I think you got your ass kicked. I'm not trying to beat up on you.
No, I did.
When we played it a joystick. Yeah.
No, I did because it's reaction time too. Because on arcade stick, I'm over here like, oh, there's a block button. I have to do this moveset to do this. But as I've probably complained about, I'll try and do Johnny Cage's Shadow Kick for days on an arcade stick. And it just doesn't work. But if I have a pad in front of me, I kind of feel like I can do it a little bit easier until I actually start doing it in MK2. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing the Shadow Kick too fast, but I'm not used to doing it slower. But I have to adjust because the game is demanding me to do this. Like, again, I have to relearn everything. You know,
I do recall now that you're using the stick because I remember we were both laughing because all you could hear in your end of the line was
yep. Yeah, because I'm mashing. Yeah, because I'm mashing because when your brain, like that's actually a reason why you mash, because your brain doesn't know the precise timing of when a move comes out. So you default to just shooting everything and hope one of them sticks. Mm-hmm. You're like, instead of firing one bullet and hitting the bullseye, you're like, let me just get the rail gun and fire a shit ton and maybe one of them will hit it.
Well, that sounds like Mortal Kombat in a nutshell, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But yeah, that's your lesson in fighting terminology when someone says you're mashing because you don't know the timing. So you're like, hit every button and hope something works. So
lesson, hell, I learned a lot today. I didn't know about true quarter circles versus directional inputs.
Yeah.
That was over my head because I'm not a Street Fighter player.
Well, dude,
I learned a lot.
I mean, well, dude, when you're playing Tekken, that shit matters more than you know because of how many moves each character has, and certain moves depend on hitting specifically just a diagonal, and then others require a down, others require a forward, others require directionals depending on the character. Like, Tekken's all over the place because there's so many moves for every character.
Yeah, and I need to get it on my PC or some shit so I can train.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing Tekken's accessible, though.
But one thing I did want to ask you guys, if you actually have an answer for this, since we're kind of like in the wrap-up phase of this, is that what, in your opinion, because I'm actually really curious, what in your opinion is, like, at least Mortal Kombat, what is your perfect controller setup? Like, are you a 5-button layout person? Are you a 6-button layout person? Do you like the more modern controls where it's, I guess you could say it's more of an 8-button layout? Or, like, do you have a preference, or is it just like, my preference no longer exists, I just have to adapt with the times?
Are you talking about Mortal Kombat or fighting games?
You can answer fighting games in general, but I figure that since Mortal Kombat is unique in its own way, I'd probably start with that one. But you can...
I think it's maybe just recency bias. I like the modern controls of, you know, the modern face buttons and then the R2 for block.
Yeah.
It just feels more natural. Modern controls feel more natural. Obviously, back in the day, I was super used to the 6-button Genesis controller, but now, yeah, I think this is the best form of it. Feels the most natural. And I prefer games that have only 4, what would you call it? Action buttons? No.
Face buttons?
Attack buttons? Mm-hmm. Attack buttons?
Yeah, attack buttons.
I prefer games like Mortal Kombat and like Tekken that have just the 4 buttons for attack, and then you have like the shoulder buttons for like either a rage art or a block or whatever. Street Fighter always threw me off. That's the one where, like, if it's Street Fighter, I would, as far as game pads, I feel like the Genesis 6 button makes the most sense to me. As far as, like, the 3 punch at the top, 3 punch at the bottom. But I guess that's the same thing with the arcade. Like, that's probably what you would... I guess that would work best for me with Street Fighter is... Because every time I play on a gamepad, I rarely use the shoulder buttons for punch or a kick. So then I just be like, okay, I'll put a light punch on one and then like a heavy punch on the other. And I do the same thing with with the kick buttons. And I just put the medium on the shoulders. And then sometimes I use them, sometimes I don't. But I either figure I'm going to do a light punch or I'm going to do a heavy attack. So I'm like, well, whatever. But I prefer the 4-button games like Mortal Kombat and Tekken.
Yeah, I hear you. Josh?
Yeah. I was just thinking about, I didn't even really process in my mind how different Tekken is also from Street Fighter. Tekken is a closer cousin controls-wise to Mortal Kombat. And I'm just thinking, like, if we were talking fighting games in general, which would be more of the Street Fighter thing, then that 6-button Genesis controller or a fight pad, definitely. Because I went and picked up my Super Nintendo controller while y'all were talking. I'm holding it in my hand again. And I'm just thinking, like, Street Fighter, like old school Street Fighter 2, is awkward on the Super Nintendo because the fierce attacks for punch and kick are the shoulder buttons. And that is just weird. My brain thinks shoulder button is a secondary action, like block or run or strafe. So it is does seem that would be better console-wise on a Genesis. As far as Mortal Kombat's concerned, though, I would say the Super Nintendo controller I hold in my hand is the perfect form factor. It's what I grew up with, but it's not too much different from modern controls now. You got your diamond button layout, right?
Yeah.
And your D-pad. I would say, like, it makes me want to go try and pick up a Switch version of the Super Nintendo controller, Jay, and try what you said. Try to play Mortal Kombat 1 with it, but the only thing holding it in my hand right now, it is a little small in my hands, because I'm not fucking 12 years old anymore. My hands are a little bigger. So I would say my perfect controller would be just the general, modern. And my modern is the Nintendo Switch Pro controller. However, D-pad placement is a thing with modern controllers that we just addressed. It's different from controller to controller. And the Switch's is a little awkward. It's at the bottom. And on top of that, I expressed my displeasure with the impreciseness of the Switch D-pad. And now looking at the PS5, I'm going to say, just looks-wise, with a D-pad placement and the fact that it's 4 separate buttons instead of a membrane pad, and what y'all said about the sensitivity, I'm going to say that might be my ideal if I have yet to try it. Maybe you've seen, come over to your place, might play some rounds of MK1 and see how it feels to me. So I'm going to say...
Let me know and I'll go ahead and reinstall it.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, we can play Tekken, that's fine. But yeah, I'm going to say, without having touched a PS5, I'm going to say that looks like my ideal controller. Because right now...
Wait, when you came to my place, did I have a PS4 or a PS5?
You had just gotten the PS5 because I think it was sitting in the corner. You hadn't hooked it up yet or something. But we didn't play with we on it. We didn't play anything at your place. We watched we played board. No, we played board games.
No, but before when we first got there, we played Tekken.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Jay,
do you remember if we played Tekken at Yassine's place?
Yes, we did.
Wow.
It was Tekken 7, but yes, we played.
Yeah, Tekken 7. Okay. I don't remember, but that would have been a PS4. I don't know how much different that is.
Well, I'm going to have to remedy that. We're going to have to bring you over.
Yeah, we'll play some Tekken 8.
And then, I guess, just very briefly for me, this actually may surprise both of you, but my perfect controller, with pretty much everything, D-pad, sensitivity, button layout, and then just comfort in hand, PS2. PS2 controller all the way.
Wow, like, going old school here.
Like, the reason why is that I played... And it is 6-button for me. I've just never been able to translate the every checkbox on what I want in a controller as far as everything I like into an arcade stick, even though it excels in other ways. But for PlayStation 2 specifically, that controller back then, the right bumper didn't flick out. Like, it actually had a backing, so it felt like an actual button. I get a fully encased button
instead of a trigger.
Yeah, instead of a trigger. So I got very used to that. Also, I played Street Fighter Alpha 3, Capcom versus SNK2, Third Strike. That was the console that everybody in college that I knew had. And I had it, a whole bunch of my friends had it, and whenever I'm going over to their place playing fighting games mostly, it was all on PS2 controller. And how that translated between fighting games was just pretty seamless for me every single time, outside of just core mechanics in the game. Like, you've seen, you and I played Garo Mark of the Wolves a good bit. How did I play that for the first time? On PS2. Because a buddy of mine had it. Just, I have so many innate starting points and good memories from fighting games in general. I played throughout the years, and a good huge chunk of them are on the PS2. To controller, because that's the controller I've used more than any other controller so far in terms of just fighting game spread. So I think it probably would be that one. But as far as button layout, it's a no-brainer. I'm a 6-button layout guy. I like having light, medium, heavy, punch and kick, specifically those. There's even options now where you can press triggers and bumpers just to do EX moves or super moves, and I'm over here that's great, but if I want to do a super, I'll do double quarter circle forward and press all 3 punch buttons at the same time, and that's how I do it. That's just that feels a lot more natural to me than just pressing 1 button. I don't know why. It's just it's tracking time.
That's how it was.
Yeah, but it's also tracking time because on a stick you don't have much choice. But if you're on a pad, you don't have all 3 buttons and a nice layout to hit all 3, so you have to hit the trigger. Unless you have one of your triggers to be your heavy kick in a 6-button layout, so the trigger at the top closest to you is your heavy punch, and the trigger at the back furthest from you is the kick. So you're your thumb has to press 2 buttons, and then your finger on top has to press either punch or kick at the same time. But I did used to play it like that. Like, I used to play Third Strike and Capcom versus SNK2 like that all the time. And then translating into an arcade stick with just my fingers is cool. But now it's just okay, I can just press a button that just is mapped to all 3 if I want to.
Why don't you just do 2 on the face and then 1 on the shoulder?
Because I have my own muscle memory. In fact, on PS2 controller, I never use the left triggers for anything in a fighting game. I only use the right.
Interesting.
That always threw me off.
Yeah, because like I said, with my left hand, the only finger I'm using outside of holding the controller is just my thumb for the D-pad. That's it. And my right hand, I'm using my thumb for all the buttons, and I'm using 1 finger, sometimes 2, depending on what I'm doing, to hit the heavies, which are usually the right bumper and the right trigger. I never use the left bumper or the left trigger in fighting games, ever. It's just muscle memory. It's just how I am.
I want to say I'm the same, to the point where when they made the run button, and I believe it was the left, I can't remember now, you probably just said.
Yep.
Your right hand for most of us is our dominant hand, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Speaking of Garo, you want to know, you said you played Garo on the PS2. You want to know how I played Garo initially?
How?
On PC with a keyboard.
Hell keyboard? Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Were you using the WASD to, move forward and back?
No.
Like a shooter?
No, I think I was using the arrow keys, and then I would use,
That's even worse.
I think. Cause that's how I also played MK4, was that I used the arrow keys, and then I used the Q, W, E, and ASD for, the punches and kicks.
You know what you're seeing? If you let's just say that like you only or use the keyboard. Other way
around. I don't know.
Like if you only use keyboard just to move around, you would naturally take to a hitbox stick. You would, because it's
no, buttons. But this was back in like 99, 2000. I haven't played a fighting game on a keyboard in like 25 years, man.
Oh my god.
I'm not doing that anymore. But that brings me to my question, is a spinoff question. What is the weirdest controller setup you used? And for me, obviously, is the keyboard.
Yeah, that sounds weird for sure. That
does, but I played Mortal Kombat 4. I played Garo. I've also played Mortal Kombat 3 once in a while. Like when we, you know, you discover emulation, you start playing a bunch of games. Like Garo, I played on MAME back in the day, and I think I played another emulator for MK3, and I remember like trying to learn how to do Kung Lao's brutality on the keyboard, and I actually got it. I was able to do it, and it was easier to do on the keyboard. And then when I tried to do it on the gamepad, I couldn't do it.
That makes sense.
That is crazy. Yeah. That's nuts.
There you go, guys. If you're playing Ultimate MK3, doing the brutalities.
Yeah,
keyboard scenes too. Play keyboard.
Mine is going to be pretty normie and basic. N64 controller. That's the weirdest controller ever, in my opinion. It still is.
Was it weird back in the day?
Honestly, yes. Because
didn't look like no PlayStation controller.
No, like true. But like Nintendo
controller.
It's weird because I really kind of was forced to skip the N64 era because I was in military school at the time. I got to play a little bit of GoldenEye and a little bit of Mario 64, but like I never really owned an N64. I missed all the games in that library. I think I only played three. I played that. I played Conker's Bad Fur Day like everybody else did, just because of the novelty of that game. And it's almost like
I've never played that game.
Oh, it's hilarious. Oh,
I never even heard about it until recently.
It's pretty hilarious and actually fun, too. And good luck getting a copy under $100 now.
But yeah, it's just like where the joystick is, the button layout. That was the first time I ever saw a controller where the buttons were bigger or smaller. And I'm like, huh? Like,
well, the no. Actually, it's telling that you haven't owned an N64. The buttons aren't bigger and smaller. They're uniform.
No, they are.
That's a GameCube controller.
No.
Oh, well, no, you're right. The C buttons are smaller, but that's because they're not meant to be action buttons. They're meant to be what essentially evolved into the second analog stick on modern controllers.
Yeah.
They're meant to control the camera for Mario, but for other games, they did that with
GoldenEye, it was like strafe. And with wrestling games, it was like a second directional thing. Like you would do a grab and then you'd hit like the C buttons to do a move.
That was a concept of the C buttons. It was camera buttons. But yeah, I stand corrected. You're right, Jay. I'm sorry. There are different size buttons, but not as weird as the fucking GameCube controller where every button's different.
That's probably the second weirdest for me.
Yeah. Like in the Dreamcast controller, I think also had, well, no, it didn't have different. The Dreamcast controller was weird too, but I never had a problem with it because you had the memory, like you had the memory stick directly in the middle, and then you had this D-pad on the side, and then you really had to play with a joystick or like a thumbstick, as I call it. You didn't have a choice because you didn't want to play with that D-pad on the Dreamcast controller. That thing sucked.
You know, I played a Dreamcast once at a kiosk to play Resident Evil Code Veronica. But I don't. That's so long ago, and I played it for like 2 minutes. It looks uncomfortable to hold.
It wasn't. I owned a Dream.
It wasn't.
I owned a Dreamcast. I played Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, Soul Calibur, Shenmue, Eternal Darkness. I played a crap ton of games on
Eternal Darkness.
Oh no,
sir, that was GameCube.
What game? I think there was like a famous horror game that was on Dreamcast that I played.
Oh, probably Fatal Frame or something.
I don't know.
That was PlayStation.
Oh.
I think.
Who knows?
I played something on there, but yeah, I played a whole bunch of games on the Sega Dreamcast. I used to love that console, man. That console was awesome. And then, of course, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I think those were like all the ones I played on that, and I played them again and again and again. I never had a single issue with that controller. N64, I bet if I would have played it more, I probably would change my opinion, but I still had like, I played other people's N64s, and every time I had their controller, I'm like, what in the hell is this thing? It's just, it felt weird playing that thing to me.
It felt new and quote unquote modern back in the day. Like it was so different that I was like, oh, this is the, what do you call it? The novelty of it was really cool. And you got used to it depending on the game. But I will say, I only played one fighting game on there back in the day. It was called Fighter's Destiny 2, which I think it was basically a Virtua Fighter clone. And that was tough to play on that sometimes. But I still think the GameCube controller is worse.
Yeah, it's like, even still, I kind of feel like I should say the GameCube controller, but I owned a GameCube, played a lot of games on it. It's like I got used to it, and now I consider it one of the best controllers. I love the GameCube controller. It just fits so naturally good in my hand that I'm like, I know what I'm doing. I'm actually surprised also that I didn't even say the Wiimote, but the Wiimote is also weird.
Oh, yeah.
But I never felt that was an issue either because...
I never had a
Wiimote. Boy, you know what? It's a shame I got rid of my Wii, because that would be what we could play Mortal Kombat Armageddon on when we get to that game. I wonder how that played on the Wii. I mean, you could take a Wiimote and turn it on its side, and it's basically NES controller, but I don't know if there's enough buttons to play Mortal Kombat. I don't know how the fuck that worked.
Who knows?
Maybe I should go buy a used Wii.
Didn't it have a Pro Controller, too?
It had a port that you could plug in your GameCube controller as it was into it and use it.
No, but the Wii had a Pro Controller, or is that the Wii U?
I don't know. Might have been the Wii U. Jake and like I has a Wii U.
I've played had a Wii, U. Wii Pro Controllers on someone's.
They might have had one. Actually, I think you're right. They might have. Or maybe it was for both. I'll go ahead and defend the GameCube controller and answer your question from my end. And I will say, yeah, the GameCube controller, a lot of people, not just Smash fans, are a fan of it. And I will say it's great for games that are designed for it because, you know, the biggest button, the A button, your action button, right where your thumb's going to settle on. It's, you know, designed right for that. Your B button's tiny. The only thing is the analog shoulder buttons, the bumpers, were really strange. They're not, I think I'm using the right word, analog. They're basically pressure sensitive, if you didn't know that. It came into play for Mario Sunshine to the point where when Mario Sunshine came out in the 3D All-Stars on the Switch, that analog functionality that you would use to control the hose was gone. And now it's just like a single button press. So a lot of people are like, oh man, Mario Sunshine's gimped on the Switch. But for games like that...
You said control the what?
It's called the Flood, F-L-U-D. Mario has this big backpack hose. And it's controlled by the right shoulder button. And if you just gently press it, it just... If you press it all the way down, it's a full flood. Or for games like Zelda, but it's, yeah, not great for Mortal Kombat, like Deadly Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And the N64 controller I defended, but Jay, I will give it to you. It is awkward with the C buttons. That's what makes it awkward, not necessarily the three fucking handles that everyone makes fun of. It is the fact that, yeah, you have the C buttons to the point where when I play Switch N64 games that are, you know, on the NSO online, some of them are like, can't fucking play with a modern two-stick fucking control, which is why I wouldn't mind getting myself an N64 controller for the Switch. I just gotta find the right one to buy. But I won't count that even as my strangest thing. This kind of sounds like, you know, what's the kinkiest thing you did? Like one of those types of questions. And I honestly could say, I guess I am used to the two strangest ones. So I'm gonna say, because I wasn't a PlayStation kid, I only played it when I went over to friends' houses occasionally for the ones that had them. I find the original PS1 controller very odd for me.
Really, the PS1?
The one without the analogs?
Either. The original or the DualShock one. Mainly, and a lot of people are going to be like, what, scratching your heads? And I'm really reaching for this one. But I'm just going to say, it just looks foreign. It's got two handles instead of just a smooth grip. And the shoulder buttons, the placement of them is weird to me. They're kind of like on this little tumor on the top of the controller. But the big thing, and this translates all the way to current PlayStation, moot point for Mortal Kombat because it's all the same, but for any other game that has menu functionality, shapes. I have to fucking look at a map to know, like, where's the square again? Triangle? Why can't it just be A, B, C, goddammit? That's stupid. They should change it. And I'm just being hey, ridiculous, because if you're used to it, you know where they are.
I was about to say, it's been 30 years. And it's like the branding of.
I know they're not going to change it, and I can already tell triangles also, top right.
It makes squares it different.
Left square. Or I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing: Nintendo and Xbox both have A, B, X, Y, but in different.
And Xbox is the A is at the bottom. Nintendo A is on the right, which is why anytime I'm playing Resident Evil, thank you. Yeah, anytime I'm playing Resident Evil at J's, I always accidentally fucking cancel out of a menu when I mean to go forward because I hit the wrong... Same with PlayStation. PlayStation, the action button is the X, which is the bottom, right? in Nintendo, the action button is A, which is on the right, which would be the PlayStation's
But circle. It didn't used to be that way.
It didn't?
No, because it was because it's a Japanese company.
Like, I mean, I played Parasite Eve. The action button's X, the bottom.
Yeah, but when they... A lot of games, when they ported to America, I think they changed it. Because in Japan, a circle is confirmation, an X is cancel.
Oh.
Like, just in common... In
That's culture, what it should like, be. Oh, X. Yeah, that makes sense.
So the X at the bottom was the cancel, and circle was confirmed. That's why, like, Metal Gear Solid games were the only ones for a while that kept that when they came to America. So it was always kind of confusing when you played a Metal Gear game, because you had to press circle to confirm.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I always get tripped out whenever I play Nintendo games, because I can never get the because I never had a Super Nintendo, so the layout for the face buttons never registered to me. So I'm so used to translating from PlayStation to Xbox, so I know where A, B, X, Y are on an Xbox controller. Even though I have a Switch and I've had it for years, but I still... Every time I see a controller on the screen that says, like, hit the X button, I was like, which one?
That's me playing PlayStation.
Yeah. It's just what you're wired with. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, that's my strangest thing.
I don't know about you guys, but I think we can actually call this an episode. I think we answered pretty much all these questions about controllers on this stream or on this podcast today. We talked a good bit about it, though. I'm actually glad that we did, because we were kind of worried that we wouldn't have a lot to talk about this subject, but there's a lot to talk about here, and I knew that there would be.
Yeah, no kidding, Jay. I was skeptical about this topic, and we even said, once we decided we had confidence in it, that it'll only take an hour and a half. Here we are, another 2+ hours, and honestly, I found it to be very fucking fascinating.
It's fascinating stuff. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, each time you hold a controller in your hand when you're playing a fighting game, just know that, you know, you're actually forming a relationship with that controller, whether you know it or not, and it matters. It does. It's how you, it really contributes way more than you think it does to how you enjoy really any game. It doesn't matter. It really matter what that game is. If you can't, because obviously, if you can't play the damn game, then you can't like it or hate it, because you can't play the damn game. So controllers absolutely matter. They're essential in how they move and how they control, how their sensitivity is done, how their D-pads are constructed, and what you're comfortable with all factor into it. And that to me is It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I don't see a lot of people in fighting game communities really talking about this subject matter too much. They'll have debates on, like, pad versus arcade stick, but they're not really digging into, like, these very specific things. So I'm glad we got to talk about it a little bit today.
Yeah, same.
So definitely want to thank everyone for listening. If you listen this long, we're definitely going to have more episodes in the future. We still got to play Deception at some point, and I think that'll be one of the next ones on our list, so look forward to that. Also, we got a couple of other non-MK related non-MK game related things to actually discuss in the future. I know we talked about we're probably going to do a Conquest episode at some point on all of MK Conquest, so that'll be fun. We should actually start watching that show again, guys. We probably should. But
yeah.
With that, do you two have anything else you want to add before I hand it over to Josh for the outro?
No, just, you know, nowadays, hey, play whatever is comfortable. Play whatever controller is comfortable to you. They're all valid.
Same. I got nothing to add.
They're all valid except for Josh's obsession with airplane simulators, because fuck that.
Oh, you're talking about inverted controls? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you're stick on this, because we play with each other on Resident Evil 7 or whatever. Like, we switch off, and it just... I sometimes forget to change the controls.
I'm weaning off of that, but only for first person. For first person games, I could see where it makes sense to do what you would say is standard. But for third person, got to be inverted, because I control the virtual camera. I've gone on that shtick. Mm-hmm. I won't rant here.
Yeah, it's all good.
Anywho, my outro relates to a strange way to play it, if you want me to launch into it. This is going to be a quick story, not terribly long, and doesn't even have a punchline, too. This is just a kind of a cute little funny thing that happened to me when I was in my teens, and it involves a strange way that I experimented playing a video game, and it was Resident Evil 2, and this was on the Nintendo 64, so this involves that bizarre batarang of a controller, the N64. Controller, and I had my friend over, and I did not practice for this. It was just a random idea I had, because you can sit the N64 controller down on the ground and its handles act almost like legs, like a stand, where if you're playing Tekken on it, if Tekken was on Nintendo 64, Jay, like you said, you could do the claw method, or Yacine said that. So I was like to my friend, I'm like, hey, man, how much you bet I can't play Resident Evil 2 with my toes? And he's like, yeah, right, this won't last long. I did have to do some remapping because I believe by memory the action button or the shoot button for the Resident Evil 2 was the Z trigger, I think. I could be wrong. I think it was either the Z trigger or the A. You could do either because A button is the investigate action button, which is the same button that shoots if you hold down aim. So maybe I didn't have to remap it, but I did sit the controller on the ground and I just leaned back and I took out my feet and I played the very beginning of Resident Evil 2, which is a little hairy because you're instantly thrown in to, you know, being surrounded by zombies and, you know, after your car wrecks. So it's like, I got to instantly be alert and move. I managed pretty good. I ran through, I might've get bitten once, and I got down to the end of the dead end alleyway at the beginning of the game. And by the time I got there, turned around, took out my gun and shot and dropped three zombies as if I were playing with my hands. My friend was like, what the fuck? I do have dexterous toes, but I managed to make it work. And I will say it brings to question maybe, you know, some crazy person designed the N64 controller specifically to be played with the feet. I don't think it is, but I think I did toe the line.
God.
Wow.
Oh my God. God
damn it. God damn. God fucking damn it, Josh. You're fired.
Outstanding.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. You can follow us on both Twitter and Instagram at Combat Time Pod.
And visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Combat Time Podcast.
You can also email us at combattimepodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions you'd like us to answer on the show.
See you next time.
Mortal Kombat
continues.
Get over here!